Hello again, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. This is Monday Night Magic number
503.
This is five. I was about to get there. I was interrupted. I knew that one. I did. Yes, this is 503, and we're recording this on a day that doesn't normally exist, and we have with us a guest who, let's say, only partially exists. So this will be awesome. So I'm Chewy. And with me, as always, are everyone's favorite goblin who just won't stay dead. Although if he does die during this episode, I will still post the show.
As yeah, we've established that, yeah.
As we discussed before the show started. Squee!
Yep, if I die in the course of this show, then I will see you all tomorrow.
And also, as always, everyone's favorite bowtie-wearing science worker, Clues.
Did we already do this last week with the science worker thing? I feel like we covered it.
Every bad Clues joke sticks around for at least 3 weeks. This is just how it works now.
At least. Yeah. I'd also like to state that if we would just switch over to Julian date, we wouldn't have this whole leap year problem.
Yeah, but that's not happening, so.
Well, today would just be 2457447.
Yeah, that's not happening.
It's fine.
Is that a Star Trek thing? Is that like Stardate?
No. That's Julian date. It's used in astronomy.
I assure you, we are sufficiently lazy that every single day would just be supplemental if we were to follow Star Trek rules. All of them forever would just be supplemental.
Oh, Lord. Also joining us this week is our aforementioned, apparently only partially existing because I couldn't think of anything better to say, guest. He recently, like very recently, qualified for the Pro Tour, and he is one of the hosts of the At Your Instep podcast, who have been around for a few years now. It's Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Mike.
That's all I got.
They said it with me. Don't worry about it.
My name's Mike. I have a magic problem. Hi, Mike.
I qualified for the Pro Tour. I have not as much of a problem now, I guess. I'm vindicated.
Yeah, I just went around telling people suck it, and I told you so. That's what I said. I was just like, hey, I did it. Just wandered around, ran up people in the street afterwards. I just said that to them. They didn't know why. It was fun.
I mean, for the record, I always believed in you.
I appreciate that.
Sort of like I believe in the Tooth Fairy.
Oh.
He's saying he wants you to give him a dollar.
That's exactly what I meant, actually.
I didn't think we were to that part of the show yet.
So, yeah, we brought Mike on because the big event was Standard, and because when he qualified for the Pro Tour, it was in Standard, and he's a pretty good guy, and apparently he knows his stuff, so, you know, why not?
I'm good at lying. I mean...
That's respectable.
I mean, you play Magic.
That's true.
I mean, do you ever tell that tale about how you made more money than you've spent? Are you that good of a liar?
No. My wife keeps me a check on that one.
Okay. A lie we all tell ourselves sometimes.
No, I can do it.
We give up on the grand scheme. You're like, well, this year I've made more money than I spent. Or this week, maybe.
In the last 3 days.
Yes.
In the new Standard environment, I've...
So, hey, Mike.
Yeah?
Tell us real quick, before we get into news and tournaments and all of that, what's at your instep?
Sorry,
couldn't resist.
You're supposed to be stopping the top, not encouraging it.
Yes, that's true.
At your instep is the phase directly at the end of the turn, where you would pause to cast instants or other effects.
Spin Sensei's Divining Top.
It's when Blue does things.
Yeah.
It's Blue's main phase.
I like that. That's actually another good podcast name. You know, I'm starting a new podcast. We honestly, and not to sound redundant here, we have a format sort of similar. We run down tournaments and we look at news. We definitely focus heavier though on Standard and Modern. We're not much with the true Eternal formats.
Yeah, well, neither are these guys.
So they're good at the game.
No, don't encourage them. Do not reward them for being.
I mean, we've never top aided any PTQs, right?
I'm pretty sure two of us have.
The trick is to not be a judge.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, to be fair, when I top-aided, my PTQ Clues was there, so.
It's true. Have you top-aided one since?
I haven't tried. Wait, did I play? I did play it one more. The one that built the top forward, actually, yeah.
Yay.
Anyway. Awesome. Well, let's get into it. And then if people decide by the end of the episode that they can still tolerate you, then we'll send them to your ship.
I like it. And if you don't,
such a high bar.
If you don't, make sure the hate mail stays with you guys. I don't want it.
That goes to Jack at MTGcast.
Yes. Oh, okay. Fair enough.
.com.
You can start directing your hate mail there, too. It'll be fine.
I miss Jack. Jack helped me get to rank. Where did I get? Rank 8 in Hearthstone.
Oh, so, there it is. What is that? 4 minutes?
I don't know. He sent me a really sweet zoo list that I tried out and went on a streak and jumped all the way up to rank 8. So I was happy. Anyway, thanks, Jack. Not that Jack listens to the show, so whatever.
Yeah.
But all right. So first up, tournaments. Grand Prix Houston was this week.
Oh, is that how you pronounce it? I thought it was Houston.
Only if you're in New York.
Where is it pronounced? Houston? Because that's where I want to live.
Whoville.
Right. Let's move to Whoville. So, GP, Houston was this weekend.
Let's move to Whoville could be the show's name.
By the way, if Clues dies this episode, it will still be posted on time, but he won't see us next week.
There's a lot of, like, what-ifs about people dying. Like, I hope there's a payoff to this.
What, you think we're the original host of Monday Night Magic?
I miss Jack. anyway, so GP Houston had 1,847 people playing standard. That's a pretty good number.
Yeah.
Wait, how many?
1,847.
Oh, 1,847. I misheard you. I'm like, that's a small number. Never mind. Go ahead. Keep going. Ignore me.
Numbers.
Clues does science, not math.
No. Clues does science, not hearing, apparently.
I'm sorry, what?
Exactly.
Okay. So, standard, as we keep saying over the last few weeks, is kind of boring. There's a little bit better this week, but it's still kind of boring. But Owen Turtenwald won, playing four color rally. Which four colors? We don't know. I think it's not red rally.
It is unred, yes.
Yeah, so unred rally. We should just totally call it that, unred rally. I like.
Yeah, I think unred is better.
Yeah.
Like redless
it would
rally,
also
right?
Describe what we did with the deck lists. They are unread.
It's standard. We don't need to read deck lists.
Zing!
But no, really. He's playing unread rally, and it's pretty much the same deck as always, right?
I mean, you can see a couple changes, like lowering the amount of hair specs that are in the main, like moving away from that. And then, like, you know, you see, like, Minister of Pain in the sideboard. But yeah, you're not going to see a lot of huge changes with this deck.
There are only so many absolutely amazing cards that are four colors that cost three or less. So
did it work well in this particular deck anyway?
So Flippy Jace rotates when Shadows drops, right?
No.
No?
Origins doesn't rotate. Origins and Dragons stay in standard.
Oh, yeah. God. You're just going to lose your Rhinos and stuff like that. All the good three-color creatures go away.
This deck dies because Rally leaves as well, but it's okay.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. So yeah, because again, this is the growing pains of the new standard rotations is that we have to lose half of a block. So we're losing Cons and Fate Reforged, but we're keeping Dragons and Origins.
Yeah, this is the weirdest rotation you'll probably ever encounter. It's supposedly going to be cleaner after this, but this is weird.
It almost reminds me of how old extended rotations were, except you lost like 6 sets and everything was insane. And then people played the same like 4 decks again anyway, so. Yeah, I'm old. Everybody shut up.
White borders.
So that, aw. Speaking of old, if you want to see an old person looking at old cards, then you should check out my YouTube channel where I just posted the next Chewie's Mom Opens Packs.
Oh, excellent.
She's opening Fallen Empires, and it's pretty funny.
I thought for sure you were making the Andrew Cuneo joke. Like, I'm not going to lie.
I thought you were going to make a Brian Quilliman joke. I was confused.
No, my mom is actually older than all of those people, even Prilliman. But only
I know,
slightly.
Prison ages a guy.
But since there's not really terribly much to say, is there anything much to say about the Unread Rally deck anymore?
It's probably still the best deck in standard. I mean, that's all you can say about that deck.
Yeah.
It's good. It's consistent. It has the luxury of four colors and consistency. It's really hard to argue with that.
And that's just stupid. So next up, second place is Andrew Cuneo, who is apparently old. Why is he that old?
He's like 40, I think.
Really?
Oh god, yeah. That's terribly old.
Wait, I'm like 35.
Okay.
Pretty much.
No.
bastard.
No, 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 I'm for a magic event.
My lawn, get off it.
He is running what they call here Dark Jeskai. Now, we had someone tweet at us. I closed Twitter and I'm not going to reopen it, but we had someone tweet at Matt who said, could you refer to it as, is it Oreos?
It is.
And I was like, thank you, Clues.
Bad Clues. Those jokes cycled years ago.
Look, they haven't rotated yet.
And I was like, why? He's like, because Efro was playing it too. And he finished. Where did Efro finish?
Like 11th.
Yeah, 11th. And he calls his, is it Oreos? I'm like, So I don't think we're going to call it that. But I had to mention it because, you know, listener request.
I like it. It's blue, red, black, white. I like it.
Yeah. I just, look, can we
it's
just call
better
it
than the SCG names.
Yeah, ain't that the truth. Can we just call it Ungreen? If we're going to go with Unread Rally, then this is Unread, Ungreen.
Ungreen's not a pun. Look, Unread is just fine.
Ungreen? What gets the green out? Toothpaste. Wait, man, that's gross. Tide? Ah, there we go. No grass stains here. Yes.
OxyClean?
OxyClean.
You can't say it. You have to yell it. Right there in the instructions.
Okay, we'll just call it Billy Mays.
Okay, so Andrew Cooney was playing Billy Mays.
Oh man, you just made his legacy. That's how the names happen.
No, legacy's later.
Oh god.
In which case, if we're going to go with Star City naming conventions, this is Storm.
Oh, they can't.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, sorry.
They keep. They're like hemorrhaging talent, so they're doing the
dark,
best they can.
Dark Jeskai. Let's
Dark Jeskai.
Or Mardu Blue.
Hey, look at that. 4J Swim's Prodigy. Look at that.
Hey, imagine that. But this is, again, this is like the same
$90 standard card. That's awesome.
This is like
it's a Zendikar tradition.
That's true. Yeah, you have to
Don't go to Zendikar without a $90 Jace.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Get with it, Clues.
It's dangerous to go alone.
Here, take this. No, don't take this. Pay us $90 for this Jace.
Hey, look, Mantis Rider is back. Hasn't he been in and out of this deck?
Yeah, like this deck's really been like the pulse of the format. Like, does the format need to be more aggressive? It's Mantis Rider. Does the format need a control deck? It's this deck. So Mantis Rider means people want to attack.
Yeah,
it's
good at that. Like, this is the deck that I'd be running if I had four Jaces. Like, it just looks fun. It's my play style. But I don't have four Jaces, and I'm not gonna dump $360 on them. So yeah. Thanks.
They're going to be really good in the new standard, too, if madness is truly a thing.
They're good in the old standard, and they're good in the old formats of Eternal.
They're good in Modern.
It's 2-mana Jace.
Sounds like you need to get some Jaces.
Clearly. I just decided to not play Magic anymore. It's been wonderful. I just talk about it now. I have all this money. It's great.
You console yourself with money.
I do. It's wonderful. So, yeah.
Do you have a money hat?
I mean, I could make one with all these not Jaces.
Anyway, so yeah, it's the same deck. We're going to be saying this a lot in standard because it's getting old. Okay, let's move on. Hey, look, here's something fun. Mark Jacobson in third place playing Hardened Scales.
It's back.
And it's...
Dun, dun, dun.
Nice dramatic sting there, Clues.
You're welcome. Scream. Well, it's back.
But yeah, this is a weird one, and I like it. So it's running for Nissa, Voice of Zendikar. There she is.
Yep.
Been wondering whatever happened to her because of her -2 that puts a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. Now, for those that don't
know, relevant.
Hardened Scales is a dumb enchantment for a single green that does nothing until it does something. Then it does lots of somethings. It says if one or more +1/+1 counters would be placed on a creature you control, that many +1/+1/+1 counters are placed on it instead. So every time you're going to put a counter on something, you get an extra one. And that's it's pretty sick when all of the cards in the deck deal with that. So Nissa, Servant of the Scale, shows up with one. Nope, shows up with two. And then when it dies, it puts 2/+1 if it dies immediately. Let's see here. Avatar of the Resolute shows up with more +1/+1 counters. Hangerback Walker, hey, there's a good one. And
I remember that guy when he was in every deck.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago, was it?
He suffered from being in a precon deck and therefore lost all his value. Just look at Jitte.
Yeah, because that's
how it happens.
Yeah. But yeah, Hangerback Walker is especially good with the Hardened Scales because pay one and tap and put 2+1/+1 counters on him. Seems good. Endless One gets a bonus whenever you cast him. Abzan Falconer, you know, gets bigger.
Abzan Falconer is actually the secret best card in this deck.
Yeah,
It shouldn't be a secret. It's really big. Yeah.
Like, it's like, the rest of the deck is like a thing you've seen, but like, four Abzan Falconers, like, is the reason why it's just beating other decks.
Well, they can't deal with flyers.
Yeah, because for three mana, it says, hey, look, I win.
Like, in this deck, it pops out as a, you know, what, 3/4, 4/5, whatever gigantic thing with flying. And by the way, your whole team can fly and they're also bigger. It's nuts.
Seems good.
Abzan Falconer, it's kind of like Trample, only flying.
Get back to work on that marketing.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
And then there's the final bit of +1/+1 goodness is Mana Gorge or Hydra, which is a 1/1 with trample for 3. But whenever a player casts a spell, he gets a +1/+1 counter. And I assume in order to kill things or try to win, your opponent's going to be casting spells. And if every time your opponent casts a spell, he gets 2 counters, that's seems good.
It's like watching somebody who doesn't know how Tarmogoyf works.
Try to lightning bolt it. Aww.
Okay. Abzan Falconer, it's how Lord of the Rings should have ended.
Oh. Suddenly everyone has flying and you win.
These guys are all birds, I swear.
Yeah, no, this deck I thought was like really interesting, but like, hey, it seems like without Falconer, it could actively just be really, really bad against all of the Reflector Mages in the format. Like, I'm glad you have a lot of counters, but you spent a lot of time doing this. But Falconer is the card that's just like, it doesn't matter what your board state looks like, it just like wins, so.
Well, it's like your overrun. You just play it and then you attack.
Right.
And it lasts a turn, great.
So yeah, it's pretty, the deck is like pretty solid. Like, whenever you just play like literally all four of outside of one Valorous Stance, like you're probably doing something right.
So how does this deck run if it doesn't end up with a turn one or two Hardened Scales?
It does with, like, I mean, half the decks in the format right now just win by curving out. Like, Bank Company wins without a Collected Company because it can just go 2, 3, 4, you know, all the way up. Same with,
that's a good point.
Rally. So like this deck, even if the creatures are weaker, it can still go turn one Servant, turn two Avatar, turn three Mana Gorge or Hydra, and like have a command. And like, it doesn't even matter that they have Hardened Scales. They just have like good creatures with, you know, a removal spell. So yeah. That's how all the decks standard work right now.
And given it's just a single green, if you get it later, you can use it and another thing same turn and still start getting value out of it immediately. Like, if you got to a turn four where you're like, play Hardened Scales, play Nissa, you know, everything gets 2 counters, life is still great.
Not bad, that's for sure.
Yeah, that seems like it's all right. Yeah.
But no, really, the Rhino's cute.
But that's, I mean, it's a one trick pony. It's a really good trick, but that's all it does.
It is a good trick, though.
It plays things, it makes things bigger, and then it crushes your skull. So
I was looking ahead a deck, and I saw a card. It's the artwork. It gets me every time. Never mind. Go ahead.
Was it Transgress?
How's your mind doing over there?
Transgress the mind. My mind was transgressed. Thank you very much.
I see. So before Clues lost his mind there, Mike, were you about to say something?
No, I was, you know, normally when you look at a format and you see like when Green White Little Kid essentially is like a deck that's like the hot thing to play in a format, it tells you the control decks have died. Like they're just nowhere to be found. It's like, hey, where's Languish at? And this is like, Languish?
Languish?
Like what?
No, that card no. We have no. To play around? No.
I don't speak that.
Crux of Fate? What? No, that's not something we need to play. So I don't know if this allows one of those decks to try and creep back in. They have a real hard time fighting against the whole format, but this is normally what this kind of deck signals, where it's like, I don't even care. I'm just going to play, I'm going to play 1/1s for one.
And I'm going to finish third. Mm. All right then. Well, moving on to Clues's, small fit that he has.
Yeah, sorry. It was pure instinct. It just happened.
We have Brock Mosley, who is playing Unblue.
Yes. Non-Blue Man Group.
Yeah, that was terrible.
No?
Yeah, okay. That was very judgy.
I'll try better.
So, hey, Mike, you play lots of Standard.
I do.
What's the difference as far as decks go? What's the difference between, like, a Jeskai Black or and Mardu Blue? Like, is there some core that we're
I mean, like, from? Normally the thing that is consistently, like, Jeskai, like, versus, like a Mardu blue or anything else, is, like a heavy blue. So, like Jeskai almost always has, like, dig through time. Stuff you might see, like, need, like, more than one blue source for. And, like, a lot of the other, like, Mardu decks don't always have, like, Jace and stuff. So, like, I guess, like, Jace and dig through time are, like, what somebody looks at and goes, oh, that's blue. But beyond that, I don't know. Sometimes it's just whatever somebody decided to type onto a keyboard.
That does seem to happen a lot.
Yeah. Like, this deck is clearly more, well, maybe not clearly, but it seems more Mardu than Abzan. Because while it is running four Siege Rhino, it's also running Dark Dwellers and Kalitas and four Crackling Doom.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, this, like, here, you don't have as much of the, like, the traditional, like, trying to think, like, they would load up with, like, Sylvan Advocates if you have, like, one Den Protector, I guess. Like, it's really, these decks are getting so, like, muddled that I don't know.
Yep.
Like, what you can really do about this. Like, obviously, like, the green gives you cool things like Pulse Mirasa. That card's really sweet. But I don't know anymore. Like, as much as I do, like, no playing standard, I just know when I see certain lands, I'm expecting to see, like, all right, well, they probably have Siege Rhino and, I don't know, every other card you could cast.
So that's part of why I'm looking forward to the next standard. We'll maybe lose a lot of this fixing and get more down to a two-color identity world. Or, yeah, you know, if the Eldrazi don't just eat everything.
Well, that's true, too. I haven't hated this. Like, I enjoy that I can do this, but definitely, like, it does feel like it's been... This format has felt very long because of that, because, like, decks don't get punished at all. Like, just, like, if you look at any of these mana bases, and, like, or go look at Rally, where it's just like, I only have to play, like, I don't know, what, four white sources to play my definitive combo piece? Like, that's terrifying. So, I like the decks that have come out of it, but I agree with you. I think I'm ready to see them, you know, skedaddle.
I think just the problem is that cards that are good stay in the decks, just period. Like, they don't have to worry about getting spread thin when new good cards come out. They'll just cut a card, have new cards, the deck doesn't change. And over the course of the last year and a half of these 3+ color decks, I'm like, yeah, I know what an Abzan deck does. It does amazing things, and then it hits you, and then which variation of it is what they think is going to be best at hitting you that day. But it's the same core set of cards that just haven't changed.
Yeah, like the difference between Abzan aggro and Abzan midrange and Abzan control were, there weren't really that many cards. It was all just tweaking the core to see what was what. But now they have gone so far, not now, I say that like it's new, but here lately they've gone so far as to tweak the colors that you play in it as well. Like, well, you know what, this week, I think I want some green, so.
Well, the other part of that too is like, most of the links in these decks that are multiple colors are still those you know, tri-color cards from cons itself. And like, we actually talked to, Sam Stoddard, because he was a Columbus local guy. We actually had him on the cast, you know, humble brags or whatever you want to say there. And we're like, hey, so Siege Rhino. And he's like, we just wanted to make sure people would play those three color cards. And we're like, well, you did it.
Good job.
You sure got that right.
but then the idea when you have a card that's three colors, like Siege Rhino, it should not be easy to always cast it because it's so powerful. And instead of this format, it's like, oh, I want to cast all these, like looking at the Mosley's list, right, where you have like Chandra Flamecaller and Goblin Dark Dwellers and Siege Rhino.
Yeah, you shouldn't be able to do that.
Like, that's double red.
you shouldn't be able to go from one white, black, green into three red, red consistently. That's wrong.
It's outside of like an Eternal format. But like, even then you should have stop gaps on the mana. Like, maybe if they had included like something like a Tectonic Edge or something in this format, maybe it would have kept it a little bit in check, but I don't know. That, it's just like, we want to make sure these cards saw play, or like Mantis Rider. It's like, okay, mission accomplished.
Well, I think the interesting thing is that with Mantis Rider, you've got a card where if it comes on time, it's amazing. If it shows up a few turns later, it's still good.
Yeah, it's still good.
Whereas the Siege Rhino, if it shows up on time, it's amazing. If it shows up two turns later, it's amazing. If it shows up 10 turns later, it's amazing. Like, the card is just good forever. And there's no, like, penalty if it falls behind because you get it too late because your colors weren't right. If you haven't lost yet, you're still good. But no, the other reason is, like, when these things rotate, we'll also get to see the cards that aren't gold get more opportunities to shine, because it's not a big secret that Battle for Zendikar was overshadowed heavily by the fact that the block before it had the luxury of just going, here are all the best cards at the end. Like, you didn't have to worry about playing slightly weaker cards that were more consistent, because you just didn't have to.
Well, and yeah, you're right. And battle is, in general, is like a huge power level drop.
It is a victim of what happens after every gold set.
Yeah. Right. I just realized something.
Yeah.
Is that at the end of all of these formats, we tend to complain about things because it's been the norm for so long. So like when, Theros block was about to rotate, we were so sick of monocolored decks.
Well, by the time that Theros got to the end, we were sick of siege rhinos and upset that they were still here.
It's true. Whenever you have the format get this large, like, as much as standard has been not with the exception of like Theros standard, because that was not good at all, but standard hasn't been terrible, but like you would hope that when you have a gigantic card pool, then like there'd be a lot of deck variations, right? Because it's the biggest ever, but instead it's just the mana is so good that it's just like, well, I don't need to try out any of these other cards. Like, I'm going to hold my Siege Rhino and I'm going to go down with it. Like, like play me off as we sink into, I guess, the quicksand. But
gentlemen, it has been an honor.
And then the Siege Rhino looks at you and goes, paint me like one of your French girls.
And then it gains 3 life.
Anyway, so mini rant over. This deck is pretty good.
Yeah.
I still love Goblin Dark Dwellers, and I'm so glad that they're seeing play. Because it's almost like the kind of, you know, dirtily casual commander type card that wouldn't see standard play.
The Red Snapcaster Mage, I don't think it's only just a dirtily commander card. No one else thinks it's the Red Snapcaster Mage?
I mean, it's close.
I think it's the Fair Snapcaster Mage.
Okay, we'll go with that, yeah.
Because my understanding is that Snapcaster Mage was... They originally wanted to make it red and cost more, but by making it blue, it was allowed to cost less than a flash.
Right.
So yeah. They did that instead, and that was such a great idea.
That's totally how you make a fair card, is you?
I do appreciate, though, that the Dark Dwellers, after they do their thing, they leave behind a reasonable creature. Whereas Snapcaster, for the most part, after it does its thing, your job is to sort of get it killed so that you can do it again somehow. Or to blink it or some other nonsense. Like this one, it costs 5, but you're getting a 4/4 with Menace, and you're probably getting a removal spell back. And that's perfectly fine. Like, that's awesome. I mean, you're playing standard, you're playing high-powered card, and when it comes with a Crackling Doom, that's just messed up. But that's what the deck does, so.
Yeah, Dark Dweller is probably going to definitely be one of the cards that will gain once some of this other competition, at the, you know, the slots are out. So, it'll be interesting. Like, yeah, you lose, like what you said, like Crackling Doom. Looking at a red card that has, like, is consistently going to be a 2-for-1 that has a relevant body, like you said, is a card that is going to, it's going to stay good even when a lot of these cards rotate out.
Let's hope so. Because it's so awesome. Like, speaking as a casual player, Goblin Dark Dwellers is awesome. So I'm glad it's good, too, you know?
Yeah.
But is there much else to say that we haven't said before? Hey, look, there's a Languish. See, it's around.
I did it.
And a Radiant Flame. See, one of each. There you go.
Standard is fixed. Everything is fine.
Little seal of approval sticker.
Good format. Very healthy.
I mean, it actually is healthy. We're just, I just really going to go back to the rant. I just wish that we could go back to the days when color meant something.
Which we will.
Yeah. Once we lose which cards are we losing?
The fetches.
The fetches. That's the word. Thank you.
Wait, so you want to go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, as bad as all of this is, it's still not as bad as when we had the filter lands and every deck was 5 colors, period, because you just, not only could you, it was so easy that you could run a deck that can get reliably 4 of any one color just on the fly, because you had those, you had the vivid lands, you had everything you ever needed. But they sort of offset it because at the time you had all of the hybrid mana stuff that took 4 or 5 of a given color.
Sure.
Whichever color you were using. And so, like, this time around, it was just, here's a lot of great fixing, but not nearly as picky.
Well, then we got the new, what are they called? Is Battlelands the one that caught on? That's a shame.
I fear so. It's the Tangolands.
Yeah, the Tangolands, with fetches are just, it's just colors don't matter. And it's great for a little while. I'm glad that it happened for a little while, but I'm really looking forward to when the rotation happens in it.
I am hoping that eventually they'll, like, as much as I like seeing the art for the big fancy expedition lands, that make it really hard to just skim over a list and be like, oh, I know what that is, because that card frame is just so dominating. I just look at them now, I'm like, oh, that makes 2 colors. Clearly. I can tell which colors, that's what matters. Then I have to read the text, because, like, the art, I can't just identify them on the fly.
Yeah, that is a thing. I haven't learned the expedition art for any of these, but that's what they're showing off because.
Like, I could learn the dual lands that I actually own and see on a regular basis from their art, but these, like, no.
Yeah.
So given the shocking regularity with which this happens, does WotC intentionally poison or stagnate the format to make us look forward to rotation?
That would be stupid.
Yeah.
No, this is very clearly just a case of, in the cycle, sometimes we get really good mana so we can play the big, fancy, expensive cards. And then after that, things wind down a little bit and you get more focus decks so that in two or three more years, you can go back and do that. This is what they've been doing since original Ravnica. It's just the other thing too is
they had an article out last week discussing like the format rotation and how they sort of have like make the old rotation and the new rotation kids for a little bit. And they said that like,
hey Mike, you are roboting something fierce and you actually cut out there at the end.
Cause the way they,
oh, and apparently you can't hear me.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll just get him to pick that back up when he reappears. Oh, there he goes. I wonder what he was saying. I bet it was fascinating.
I think we were probably actually stopped by the Decepticons.
Damn you, Michael Bay. Well, until he comes back, let's keep going. Oh, wait, he's back.
Hooray.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry about that. I have no idea what happened.
Okay, so last week there was an article, and that's about where you broke.
Sorry about that. There was an article on the mothership discussing, like, they had to make the old format rotation and the new format rotation sort of kiss and play nice. So there are a couple of things like the fetch land format was sort of forced into this where they didn't really, if they were on like the new rotation, they wouldn't have wanted this to happen.
Oh, okay.
If that makes sense. So like some of this was like, yeah, we shouldn't have let this happen. Our bad, but we had to do something to let this format rotation change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not complaining that they did it. I'm glad that they did it and that mana is near perfect. I'm just also really glad that it wasn't for a full year or two.
Yeah, like if they picked a good time to jump into that mode, I'm glad it's here. I think the problem, though, is that prior to that happening, we had the Ravnica lands. So we've had really good lands for so long that aside from like that little thing with Devotion for a little bit where the mono decks are really strong, it's just been, you know, really great 3+ colors most of the time. So having that slowly ease away will be nice.
Yeah, I kind of hope Shadows has maybe not a focus, but a tendency towards, you know, one and two color decks just as a change.
I am hoping that it does not do the thing that the last one did, where Innistrad had 10 lands in the rare slot, because that was really rough unlimited. Because you had all the ability lands and you had all of the other lands.
Those.
Yeah, it had the buddy lands. Like the non-core set enemy color buddy lands. So in Innistrad itself, you had the enemy color buddy lands and the ally color ability lands. And then as they got to the other sets, they added the other ability lands in. But it was just a case of, it was very common to open your draft and one to two of your rares be effectively useless in the colors that you were in. And just be like, well, good old uncommons. I mean, it was still the best, you know, draft format ever, but that was one of the strikes against it.
Yeah, what he said.
Yeah, so... Are we done with green Mardu?
I guess. Is there anything else to say about Unblue?
I hope not.
I thought that's the word you wanted, Clues.
Unblue? Well, yes, definitely.
Hey, Mike, what's the most common ability used on a Chandra Flame color?
It's probably always the Ticking Down. Like, that's why that card's so good right now.
The,
like the Deluxe Damage one?
Okay. Interesting.
Yes, yeah, sorry, Ticking Down to, to deal, I mean, -3 is probably the most common ability with her, and that's why she's really well positioned at the moment and seeing a lot of love. Like, it's cool that you get to kill your opponent too, but that's, you've already wiped the board.
Okay.
So, like, the discarding all your cards and then drawing that many +1 is really just when you're out of cards?
Never actually seen it done in a tournament yet.
Like, I will completely believe that.
Wow.
I will totally believe that.
Like, it's either wiping the board or killing your opponent. Like, that, I don't know the situation where you, like, you're behind so Chandra didn't die, but you're also, like, not wiping the board. I'm not sure.
Like, why am I not pressing this advantage? Like, I don't need more cards when I can throw 6 damage at you or kill something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's good to know. All right, then. Well, let's move on to Cody Linglebach, who's playing Grixis Dragons, because, yep, we're calling it Grixis. And this deck is actually... It's not new, but it's still new enough to be interesting.
Yeah.
Like it's running your Kolaghan Storm's Fury, your Thunderstruck Regent, and your Hangerback Walker. You know, the things that you'd expect. And Draconic Roar.
Your Thunderstruck Regent? So like your AC/DC Dragon?
Yeah, yes. That's what we called him.
Oh, I know it was a thing. I'm sorry. I was like, I'm confused.
Every once in a while, we clarify the nicknames that we give to some of them.
But not every week.
That one's pretty obvious, though, so we just sort of let that one go. But no, it's also running Bearer of Silence, which is awesome, Thopter Engineer, and then Eldrazi Sky Spawner, who is not content to just wreck Modern as – he wrecks Limited. He wrecks Modern. But now he's going to wreck Standard, too. Why not?
It's really good.
It is. And the art is almost as disturbing as Transgress the Mind.
No, it's not.
Have you looked closely at it?
Yes.
It's pretty gross.
Oh, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
I think I'm taking Sky Spawner in that matchup heads up, like, of disgusting imagery.
Really?
Yeah.
I think if I were to see someone getting hands, like, shoved through their face from the other side, that would terrify me, and I would run away. But I think if I were outside and I just looked up and saw a Sky Spawner, I would be terrified and run away, but I'd have more nightmares about the first one, but the second one would make me look up for the rest of my life.
This is how this works.
They're both adequately terrifying.
Adequately terrifying. There's another name.
Yep, I'm adding it to the list now.
So, but yeah, this deck is all about just efficient things, like which is, I guess, what all of Standard is about right now.
Well, it's another deck that can do things in the air. Like, the Sky Spawner can carry the Ghostfire Blade, which is great. The Thopters can carry the Ghostfire Blade. These are things that a lot of decks can't deal with, and then, you know, if you actually bust out the Kolaghan, then party time, something is dying in the air.
Yeah, I really like this version a lot better than the traditional red-black, if only because you don't have to play terrible Flamewake Phoenix. That card was, like, consistently the worst thing about that deck. And, like, this one, you get a lot more options. You get more two-for-ones at every, like, every one of your creatures essentially is a two-for-one. Like, you're getting another guy, or, like, you know, Walker gets more guys at the thighs, Regent gets a, you know, a lightning bolt when it gets targeted. So everything's doing special things for you. But you also get to play, you know, counter magic with the splash of blue, which is really, really important in the boarded games. It gives you a whole other dimension. So this deck just feels like a much better, like, interpretation of this archetype.
So with the one dispel in the main, it seems like one of those things where it's just rare enough that there's no reason to ever bother playing around it, but it'll occasionally just snipe in there and be really important. Because usually you think this deck's running counter magic or it's not. But if you know the deck and you've played against it once, like, you know, maybe in game two, it might be at four dispel, it might be at none. But in game one with just the one, is it just sort of floating around for that one decisive play? Like, I just don't want to deal with whatever,
I mean, it's got a lot of upside, but
it's just, I'm like, not I sure. See three
murders. I don't think I would play it as a miner's copy, but I guess, like, if you
do. Oh, we lost him again. I think. Did we lose him, Mike?
No, I'm here. I told him to go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just saying that when I look at three murders cut, four Draconic Roar, I feel like rather than running the one dispel, I just run another kill spell and have a more consistent strategy. But I could see someone running, I guess, one dispel because once in a great while, it'll do something that the deck otherwise couldn't deal with.
Well, I mean, as the one of, this is purely just off the top of my head, as a one of, if you don't draw it, it's fine. And if you do draw it, surely you're going to have a target for it that's worth countering. So maybe it's a...
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely the kind of card that, like, the fear of God into an opponent. Like, you show them the first one, even in game one, and, like, you could board it out and never have any more counter magic in the match, but they are going to play like you have it. And that could be enough
choice but to play around it.
Like, they're definitely not playing around that first one, but once you see it, like, it could be game three, you've decided Dispel's not even good in the matchup, you know what I mean? But they may think you have it. And if it causes them to make a different line, tap differently, hold up on a threat, or, like, hold up on killing a threat to, like, make sure they can get, you know, play around something, that may win you the game. The Met.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
And he's going to the Pro Tour, so.
Yeah.
Oh, don't do that to me.
If anything is wrong in this entire episode, even if he doesn't say it, it's his fault.
Yeah, it's Mike's fault.
He was supposed to stop us.
So where can you send hate mail again?
Jack@mtgcast.com.
Okay, yeah. That's...
All right. So as much as we like...
Send Jack an email complaining about me.
as much as we like the Grixis Dragons, let's move on. Brock Parker is playing another Unread Rally. And this looks like... I'm pretty sure this is exactly the same list. Or at least it's close enough to where I can't tell without flipping back and forth multiple times.
It looks like we have stuff in the same 60.
Yeah. So that means nothing to say there. Chapman Sim in next place is running Hardened Scales. What's missing here? Oh, he's playing. Yeah, he's playing one extra land instead of the stance, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What the hell is High Sentinels of Arashen?
You remember that card? That card was sweet in like the first month of the cons format.
Each other. Oh my god. Yeah. Okay. Now this wrecked me at the pre-release.
Yeah, it'll do that.
I remember now.
Well, the general thing is like at the pre-release when you've got mana lying around, it's great. But here, I guess you find another amazing use for it because it's three and a white. Put two counters on a thing. It just won combat. Doesn't matter what.
Yeah. Plus it's another, it's a big flyer that doesn't need a falconer to, you know, fly. We'll go with that. So what is the last deck? Amir Radmard is playing four color collected company. And this is unblack. So, Mike, you said to win your regional PTQ, you were playing Bant Company.
Yeah, I didn't have the red here for Mantis Rider or Knuckleblade.
Hey, look, it's Knuck Knuck. You guys remember Knuck Knuck?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that guy. It's good to see him getting some love again. So what, again, since consistency is not a problem, why not play Mantis Rider and Knuckleblade? Like, what does it give you to not have the red?
I actually do disagree that, I think consistency actually is a bigger problem for this deck. It gets to play less basic lands, and like, it has to play worse main lands to do what it's doing. Granted, hitting Mantis Riders off of Collected Company is sweet, but like, even like the version I played of Collected Company had 28 creatures. Granted, some of those are Wingmate Rocks. This one has 25 because it's like also playing Ogitize Command, so I don't think this one is as consistent. But it does get to hit a little bit harder. So I guess that's the trade. I don't like how compared to creatures in Bant Company, this deck, like when it's playing a three drop, like it's going to be super mana intensive. So it gives you a little less flexibility in casting two spells going forward. And you also lose out on, Skyspawner, which has actually been pretty great. The extra mana that comes off the Scion has been great, but obviously he did pretty well. Because Mantis Rider, I have to assume, is disgusting off of this. I don't know, Knuckleblade. That card always looks better than it actually is.
I can see that.
Yeah, the problem is that the Knuckleblade's bouncing ability costs a lot, and then replaying it with haste costs a lot. And like, I've tried to make Knuckleblade work a few times because I opened like six of them in the first 3 weeks of that standard. I'm like, I'm going to do this. It's going to be amazing. And it just, there are other things that are amazing the turn they come down and don't cost anything after that. And it's sad because you really want him to just be a 6/6 hasty super monster, but then he trips over a Sky Spawner token and you're like, oh.
Poor Nut Nut.
And I will say, like, the huge difference here, I guess, looking at all of this is you don't have access to, Death Disruptor anymore in this list. And like, most of the time, I think I just would rather have a Raptor than a Knuckleblade, because like, Death Touch just lets you attack into Abzan, and this deck is really leaning on like, Mantis Raptor to get around.
Hmm. That is a good point. There's no Footloose Raptor. That's terrible. Oh, he's dancing and you know it.
You're not wrong.
Got a Void Grafter in the board.
A what?
There are two Void Grafter in the sideboard.
Oh, that guy. That's weird.
When it shows up, it gives another target creature hexproof. Sure, why not, I guess. It also has Flash, which is probably more relevant, but...
What?
I guess just more things to do at the end of the turn, but... And saving a guy is pretty sweet.
Like, maybe you're like, I left mana open in case I need to bounce my Knuckleblade. Just kidding, I flashed in a Void Grafter to save my Knuckleblade. I don't know. Like, I don't think this deck has the mana lying around to do stuff like that, but I didn't get the top 8, so.
Yeah, you didn't. So speaking of the top 8, that was the top 8. There's more nonsense going on as you go further. Here's another... Unread Rally, another Unread Rally, more Is It Oreos. Hi, Afro. Here's the Black-Red Dragons that, we were talking about before.
Yay, two colors. It's got Drana in it.
It's got Drana in it.
You remember when Drana was a big deal? And then the set came out?
Oh. I was going to say, I saw her in week one once. What's with the Drana in the deck? That's...
She should be so much better than she is.
I mean, she should be. Mike, what'd you think of Drana?
I mean, if it gets to hit, it's really spicy.
Yeah.
If it dies, you're pretty sad, though. Which it feels like that's probably what does a lot.
Well, like, it's living in a world with Mantis Riders, and it's like, oh. Huh.
Yeah, right?
Like, that thing attacked, and I can't block it, and now I want to attack, and it's still there, and I'm never going to get through. And I was just sitting here tiny.
Oh, we lost Mike again. Poor Mike. He does not like our connection here for some reason.
No, he does not.
Well, I don't think it's him. I'm going to blame his connection.
I'm going to blame Skype.
That's probably safe.
That seems fair.
Yeah. So let's see. In 13th was a Mardu midrange, which... Oh, no worries, man. Oh, wait. Are you back? I was talking to the chat.
I was going to say, you answered the text.
Yeah, I said that out loud.
Thrilling radio.
Chat. It says he's back. Mike, are you back?
Haha.
Oh, we heard a noise.
Well, we knew someone was going to die this episode. Sweeps week.
It is the snuff podcast that we were talking about before the show.
You too could pay to know what we mean.
Well, like I said, it sounded like he was back, but apparently not. So he'll be back. Like I said, in 13th place, we've got the Mardu midrange deck, which is, it removes the green for, essentially for Butcher of the Horde and, Aili Eternal Pilgrim, which seem like they'd work really well in this deck.
If they have enough to eat, like they're both eating the same food.
Well, that's true. But that's what things like Chandra Flamecolor and the Hangerback Walker are for.
Well, I mean, admittedly, yeah, Chandra can make things for them to eat, and that's awesome. And then you decide which ones you eat after the Butcher of the Court's actually, you know, connected in combat. But, you know, that's also after it would have gotten Vigilance or Haste, so.
Yeah, there's no token making.
Like, it's just Chandra, and her guys don't stick around.
Yeah, there's no other token making in the set, so you have to be eating something that's, to give it haste anyway, that's supposedly productive.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you could go ahead and eat your Hangerback Walker to give the Butcher of the Horde haste.
I mean, that does make tokens.
Yeah.
I guess if you got to the point where you had sufficient life and mana, then suddenly Hangerback Walker is like a murder machine for Aili. But beyond that, it's also kind of nice to just attack with those things.
Yeah. So I guess it's more of a case of weighing your resources to see which one is better.
Yeah, I mean, also Butcher of the Horde is just good. I mean, it is still a 5/4 flyer. It doesn't always need haste. Like, stick around one turn and it's great.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Paul Rietzel is in 14th with the Bant Company deck.
Oh, actually, no, back on that other one. I think reason why the good synergy on it is that because the Butcher of the Horde can gain lifelink, it's really easy to break 30 life. And then Aili is actually online. Like, yeah, you've eaten the food, but you've just turned all of your whatever's left into lasers.
Into lasers.
They're just lasers now.
So, pew, pew.
Pretty much.
Got it.
Oh, and Kalatos makes zombies. I don't know why we forgot that.
Oh, you know, I always do forget that. It's because he's a 3/4 lifelink that does cool things. I always forget what the cool things are.
Yeah. So, okay, you can stop sending that email. We figured it out.
Yeah, we got it. We're good. Sorry, our bad.
Carry on.
It still trips me out that he's got a head crab on, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, you know, who are we to judge fashion?
I guess. I don't even have a gravity gun. But, yeah, Paul Rietzel is in 14th with the Bant Company deck. Hey, Mike, you back?
Yeah, sorry about that.
It happens. Bad, internet hates us for some reason, so.
It's hating me tonight, so.
I blame Skype, which is what Bill said. So, how does this Bant Collected Company deck that Paul Rietzel was playing in 14th compare to yours?
So, he's playing the Ochotize Commands and no Wingmate Rocks, whereas I played no Ochotize Commands and Wingmate Rocks. I also had the aforementioned Sky Spawners, which he doesn't have, and Sky Spawner I think is great in the version with Wingmate Rock, because then you can cast turn 4 Wingmate Rocks, which is disgusting.
That is kind of stupid, yeah.
Yeah, that would be pretty good.
Yeah.
But this version just gets to have it's still 26 creatures, so like its company hits it the same, and you're just trading off like the power of Ochotize Command, which is very powerful with Jace and Sylvan Advocate, but I just didn't like the card very much in testing, but the decks are very similar. They're going to do the same things, just the card you're choosing to keep at the top is a little bit different.
Makes sense.
So Yasova is also the other little bit of spice that I wasn't playing, which is, it's probably kind of not in a couple matchups where it's like, oh, take your guy and finish you off. So it's kind of a cute hit off of Collected Company.
Yeah, that one always seems like the, it's the sort of thing you put in your deck as a one of to be clever.
I don't know. People like tried Nissa in that slot as well, but I don't know. He doesn't have Stratostancer either, so I feel like that might be just better. I don't know. I'm sure there's some boards that Risova is probably just insane though.
Huh. I didn't notice the lack of Stratostancer. That's weird.
Yeah, there's just the one on the board. That's not nearly enough.
Huh.
That card is, but the morph creatures, like he's playing all four Den Protectors. I only had three, but the morph creatures also play better with Sky Spawner as well, because then you can morph them on turn four and still flip them up. So like, I don't know. Sky Spawner, I felt like just adds a much more, I don't know, powerful line to the deck that this version just never has, but like, they're both obviously still good.
Yeah. Well, like you said before in the four-color one that I now forget which color it didn't have.
Not black.
Yeah, the unblack, that it there's always a trade between, you know, power and consistency. That's just how Magic works. It's like between magnification and field of view, right, Clues? Do we lose Clues?
Clues is looking at Legacy.
Clues is looking at Legacy. That's exactly what's going on here.
I've been muted the whole time. Damn it.
He didn't deny looking at Legacy.
No, I just figured that my jokes just weren't funny. It's fine. It's fine. I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
Not Legacy.
The power and consistency trade-off sort of being like magnification or field of view.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
Okay. But see, it was funnier if you'd have just heard it the first time. But
yeah. Oh, man.
You were busy shouting jokes that we couldn't hear.
Yep. I knew you guys were all jerks for not listening to me.
Yep.
But that could still be true.
Anyway. Yeah, I suppose. So there's another Hardened Scales in 15th. And then the only other deck that we really wanted to mention because it's funny is Michael Romero's Black Eldrazi deck, which is playing, let's see if this sounds familiar, Reality Smasher, Thoughtknot Seer, Matter Shaper, Eldrazi Mimic, Hangerback Walker, let's see, Spatial Contortion, and Warping Whale, or Eldrazi Charm. And then, but this isn't modern, so it's running Hangerback Walker, Transgress the Mind, Grasp of Darkness, and Bearer of Silence. So it's your amazing curve of Eldrazi with Hangerback Walker thrown in for good measure, because why not? And then Bearer of Silence, because it's really good. And that's it. It does seem kind of odd that he's not running any sort of colorless blade whose name just completely fell off.
Ghostfire Blade.
Yeah. Ghostfire. Yeah.
But I guess it's because he's curving out so well that he really doesn't care.
He just wanted to, like, most of the decks that, like this that have Ghostfire Blade don't have a lot of spell slots, so maybe he just, like, really liked his spells.
Yeah, and this one also just doesn't have flyers to take advantage of it. These things are already big and scary.
How awful is, like, Reality Smasher, swing for five, next turn Reality Smasher, swing for five, no block, Spatial Contortion, take eight. Like, I wonder if that's a thing that happens ever at all, or if Spatial Contortion is just straight up removal.
Oh, I'm sure it happens. I mean, you could do that to, like, Thoughtknot as well. So, like, there's probably a couple ways to chip in some extra damage that way.
Yeah.
It probably feels really good every time you do.
I bet, yeah.
Like, the old version of it, the Nameless Inversion was really good at both jobs, too.
That is true.
So, looking over this, it makes me wonder, how often does Seagate Wreckage actually draw more cards?
I've never seen it happen. Does that help?
Yeah, I mean, I understand why it's there. It does a great job. It makes colorless mana like it's supposed to, but
I think that it's just a waste with some upside.
Because I mean, you're not playing in a format where they're gonna, you know, path to exile your stuff, so you don't really need to run the waste.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen it activated. As a matter of fact, it was such a dumb game. I've seen it activated. Two of them activated twice, or two of them activated at the same turn. Because it was a long, stupid game where one guy was playing against the guy playing, it was Mardu colorless, I think, if I remember correctly. It might have just been Black Red. I can't remember now. It was Sexy Jared. Hey, buddy. I don't think you listen to the show, but whatever. He was playing this, like, tempo-y an aggro tempo deck. It was very strange. And he had two copies of Seagate Wreckage. He managed to draw them both, play them both, run out of steam, and his opponent was doing nothing, so he could actually spend 6 mana to draw 2 cards.
Oh, it's 8 mana, dude.
Well, okay. Spend 6 mana and tap both Wreckages to draw 2 cards. And it eventually, I think he was able to do that twice, and it eventually drew him the gas that he needed to win. But...
If you can do that over 2 turns, you better win, because your opponent's doing nothing.
Yeah, his opponent was hit some sort of, I think he was out of land or had all of the land or something, but he didn't have the CK Wreckages to draw him out of it. So
needs food badly.
Exactly. But I mean, I think you throw that in instead of waste, because like you said, you don't need the wastes, you just need the colorless mana, so why not have some potential upside just in case?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely looks at more than the 4th Blighted Fen and the 4th Foundry. Like, both of those are options he could be playing that have effects every time. So, I would hope that in testing it showed him something.
Let's hope so. Wow. I keep forgetting how awesome Blighted Fen is, and every time I read it, I'm like, wow, that's good.
Yeah.
Huh, anyway. So, I think that's pretty much it for the GP. I didn't actually look at anything past 16th. Is there anything else worth... Hey, look, an Esper Dragon's deck. You remember that?
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's still...
It's not changed that much.
Exactly the same. Okay, well, keep going. Do more Hardened Scales. It's like everybody, like Hardened Scales came out of almost nowhere, but everybody came up with the nowhere at the same time. Are you noticing?
I thought that was a memo.
Was there a memo? Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, Glue.
Hey, you're welcome, man. I assumed you saw it.
Oh, here we go. Here's a red-green ramp deck. Way down in 26, which I say way down, when in an 1800 plus person event way down in 26th.
Just chilling.
This is the Eldrazi deck, the red green version, the one that's running explosive vegetation non-ironically, and that makes me happy. Explosive vegetation was first printed, I think I've said this before, was first printed when I got back into the game in Onslaught Block. So and it's like a casual staple, and or it was for us, like all of us in my group. So seeing it now in high finishing tournament decks is just brilliant. But yeah, your standard, the Ugin, Worldbreaker, Dragonlord Atarka, Ulamog, Hedron Archive. Yeah, it's that deck. We just haven't talked about it yet, so, you know, there it was. What the hell is Jeskai Dragons?
It won the MOCS last week.
Huh. So. Well, how about that?
Oh, you mean Azorius Red Dragons. Gotcha.
It's, wait a minute. What is it? What, it's Jeskai, so it doesn't have black green, so it's the what's black green? My brain just completely died. Un-Golgari. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so look at the 32nd place deck. It's Mickey Humphrey's Jeskai Some Dragons.
Some Dragons, that's a good number.
That's what the name of the deck says, Jeskai Some Dragons.
We are Some Dragons, we got Some Dragons.
It's got Sarkon.
By which we mean Thunderstruck Regent and sometimes Sarkon.
Yeah, and that's it.
Some Dragons. Exactly what we've advertised. You want some dragons, we got some dragons.
Hmm. Anyway, so that's the GP.
There's been no more dragons on the board. Just like some dragons.
Just some dragons. You know.
The end.
It's not just got dragons, because there aren't enough. It's just some dragons.
We got a Fumarole. Does that count? Kind of looks like a dragon.
Oh. Yeah,
it's dragon-esque.
You're...
Draconic.
Anyway, so let's move on then. Star City was in Philly this week, and wouldn't you know it, it was Legacy. What?
It was, yes. 755 players for the king of all formats in Philly.
Isn't this
really outnumbering original Pokemon? Good job, guys.
Is it? Wait, original Pokemon? There was only, 151?
Yeah, so barely outnumbering.
He said 755.
Oh, I heard 155. I'm like, that sounds terrible.
No. 755.
Oh, that it's actually outnumbering almost all Pokemon.
Yeah, this is actually a really big event for a Legacy.
No, I just heard 155. I'm like, really? I remember putting in a bigger number. That's awful.
Welcome to Monday Night Magic episode. We're not sure because we're having problems with numbers tonight.
Numbers is good.
Numbers makes my head hurts.
Okay, now see, I'm an English guy, so if you do numbers as good, my brain will start to melt.
And physics are fun. That will make clues.
I can hear the pH.
Numbers are some dragons.
That sounds
where
like
there were some number of Legacy players in some city for a tournament run by some organization.
Sometimes.
Occasionally. This past weekend. .com.
AOL keyword song.
I'm going to mute now.
Oh, AOL keyword. That's quality stuff. Anyway, there were 755 players in this legacy main event at Star City. And in first place, we had Noah Walker with Grixis Delver, a common go-to for a Delver deck. You got your young peasies in here. You've got some zombie fish, because why not?
Because, yeah, goodness knows, Legacy is the only place where zombie fish are good.
Yep, zombie fish.
Gurmag Angler, right.
Gurmag Angler.
I'm glad you're here to call us on what we've gotten used to saying.
Zombie fish.
Yeah. Like, yep, we don't even think about it anymore.
By the way, Young Peasy is Young Pyromancer, if you've never heard me talk about that card before, because it's still the main Chandra fanboy, Young Peasy, your friend. And
I love myself some Young Peasy. It's all good.
And then in second place, we had Jerry Thompson bringing a modern deck. It's colorless Eldrazi.
I hear that's good.
You couldn't get away from him ever, because... Seriously, you just can't. I mean, honest to God. Okay, so I'm going to start reading, okay?
Flavor win.
I want one of you to stop me when I can't play this deck in modern. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Okay, 4 Eldrazi Mimic.
See?
1 Endbringer.
Sure.
4 Endless One. 4 Matter Reshaper. 4 Reality Smasher. 4 Thought Not Seer. By the way, I'd love to deck check this deck. This is awesome. In the lands, we've got 4 Ancient Tomb.
Ooh, stop!
Oh, there we go. There we go. As a matter of fact, if we look, okay, let's ignore the lands for a second. In the spells category, we got 4 Chalice of the Void, 2 Mox Diamond, 4 Thorn of Amethyst, 3 Dismember, 1 Warping Whale. Then we go to the lands and it's basically, yeah, you know what? Why don't we just take all of the great lands that made colorless mana, like Ancient Tomb and City of Traders and heck, Wasteland. Let's cram that in there too. And ta-da!
Cause Legacy. Caracas.
That is the colorless Eldrazi deck. Sideboard, we got some Pithing Needles, Sphere of Resistance.
Ooh, that's not in modern.
Jitte, all is dust.
Wow.
No? Okay, so yeah, it's kind of a weird. We just took the modern deck and turned it up to 11. So I guess it's not all that surprising that it did pretty well.
Well, they turned it up to 11, and they added in Thorn of Amethyst, which really. Just punches lots of legacy right in the thorn as it was.
It does.
Yeah.
I'm, in the thorn. I'm a big fan of Thorn of Amethyst.
I was trying not to say in the balls, if you must know, Mike.
Yeah, no, I got that. I got that. Nice cover till you said it out loud. So
balls.
Oh, I get it now.
That was second place. In third place, we had Tom Ross rocking Infect. When asked about the colorless Eldrazi deck and if it was a real thing and how to beat it, Tom Ross actually said he just dodged it. So I guess that's the way you beat it. Just don't play against it, and everything is fine.
You're guaranteed not to lose if you don't play against it, yeah.
I mean, I didn't play against it last weekend, and I didn't lose to it. So.
Yeah, me. I haven't lost to the colorless Eldrazi deck yet.
Yeah.
Not that that's... saying all that much. In fourth place, we had Louis Bashad with Grixis Delver. So much like first place. Fifth place, Rich Cali has Miracles. There it is.
There it was. Yep.
Up there higher, but there it is in fifth. Hashtag stop the top. In sixth place, we have Lands. David Long was rocking the deck that doesn't really need anything but land drops, I guess.
Which it has.
Which it totally has, because Legacy has lots of lands. Running 34 of the bastards. Good God.
And a full set of exploration, because lands.
Because lands. That's right. And Molten Vortex. Because lands. You see? Because it's powered by lands? No? Okay.
That seems right. Odd.
Never mind.
You'd really think that the red and to activate the ability would outweigh the red and one to cast it in the first place. Maybe not.
Wait, what?
How much does...
Molten Vortex costs a single red.
Yeah, but it takes red to activate every time, whereas
yeah.
Seismic Assault... Doesn't that just cost 3 or is it 4? Anybody? Seismic Assault costs... Yeah, oh, it's red. Oh, I forgot that it was a full 3 red. For some reason, I thought it was only 2. Okay, then never mind. Maybe the activation cost on Molten Vortex doesn't get old.
It gets the chewy stamp of approval.
Yay.
Your folks. In seventh place, Eli Cassis is running Blue-Red Delver, which, again, if I had to play Delver, that's probably what I'd do. And in eighth place, Harlan Fearer? Firer? Harlan. Yeah, Harlan guy. Is running Colorless Eldrazi. We've never seen this deck before.
Actually, this deck is significantly different.
Let's see how it's different. Oh, this is different.
He's running Phyrexian Revokers and Phyrexian Metamorph. Which is hilarious.
Yeah, that is.
That's a 3-mana Reality Smasher, which means it's like almost a free Reality Smasher.
Still running
Eldrazi. Well, I mean, I think that's their lot in life. That's their goal. He's also running Trinisphere instead of the Thorn. That's a neat. That's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm sorry, Bill, you seem to have a comment about a deck I glossed over because I assumed it was normal.
Well, the Blue-Red Delver deck is running Set Adrift, and I don't actually know if that's normal in Legacy or not, because I had to read it again, because I did not remember what it did.
That's the Time Ebb with Delve, right?
Yeah.
Time Ebb? Was that right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, put target on land, put it on top of the library, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, time is a sorcery, Griptide's an instant, so...
I don't think that's normal, actually.
I don't recall seeing it on the list before, but I kind of stopped reading most of the Delver list a while ago after the year and a half of nothing but Delver.
He's not wrong.
I guess if it only costs a single blue, it's probably pretty good.
Yeah, I would say yes.
Even though it's a sorcery?
Yes, it is.
Well, I guess if you ban everything else that was competing for Delve, then eventually you can down the Set Adrift.
I see what you did there. They can't play Treasure Cruise or Dig anymore, so why not?
I mean, they have a graveyard again.
So in your top eight, we had two different colorless Eldrazi decks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we were still looking at the second one. So the eighth place one is running the Fork of Doom. Are you saying it's got 2 GTA in it?
I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't you?
But why? Was it in the first one?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay.
Wait, was it? Wait, hold on. No, I gotta go back.
It is not. I'm looking. It's in the board.
Okay.
But Harlan here has it in the main. And he's also got, as Mike pointed out in the chat, he's got 2 Winter Orb in the board.
I hate that card so much.
Well, you should.
I mean, that's what it's there
for. It's really fun when you have your Eye of Ugin and you get to cast 3 Mimics, you didn't tap any lands, and then you get to play, like, you know... like an Ancient Tomb and then play Winter Orb the next turn. That's cool how your opponent doesn't get to play Magic anymore.
Look, they knew what they were in for when they decided to play Legacy.
I was going to say, you've actually described the goal of Legacy, I think, is that your opponent doesn't get to play Magic anymore. At least that's what Miracles will tell you.
Bluest Artifact.
And that's why I love that format.
I've seen Blue Artifacts.
Stop the top.
He's also running Mistress Factory. Are you looking at this? Good lord. So, okay, Clues, you were about to go into what we're looking at here.
Yeah. So our top eight, if we just look at it, we've got 1, 2, 3 flavors of Delver. Well, 3 Delver decks, 2 of them are Grixis. We've got a Lands deck, a Miracles deck, an Infect deck, and 2 colorless Eldrazi. And so it seems like, not so bad. A pretty diverse top eight that we've got going on here. But I'm going to read you some numbers, and I want you, the listeners at home, to try and tell me what these numbers have in common. Okay, you ready, listeners at home?
They're going to have a hard time telling you.
No, but just trust me. I think they'll get it. I think they're smart. I have confidence in our listeners. So 2, 8, 9, 15, 20, 21, 26.
Good lord.
So if you were paying attention to the top eight when we read them off, you'll notice that second and eighth place were colorless Eldrazi. Colorless Eldrazi also rears its colorless Eldrazi head in 9th place, 15th place, 20th and 21st, as well as 26th place. In fact, if you actually go and take a look at the Day 2 metagame breakdown for this event, so we had as like 750 players started the event, 64 of them made Day 2. Of those 64, 9 of them were rocking colorless Eldrazi. 9. It was the most popular deck that made Day 2. Now, I'm not going to say that the sky is falling, because I don't think that it is. I think Legacy has enough depth and enough breadth, and it will adjust, and the metagame will do something about this. But, man, 9 of them make day 2. 7 of those 9 make top 2. So I don't think that our legacy metagame was prepared for the colorless Eldrazi menace.
But I think the decks that were prepared for it, or at least that play well against it, did pretty well, because what was the second most popular deck?
The second most popular deck was lands.
That's so weird.
8 copies.
That's so weird.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Like, if you look at the total number of Delver decks that made day 2, 4 is 8, and then that's 9, 10. Yeah, only 10 across 4 varieties Delver decks made day 2.
Now, I have heard, rumor tells, that the colorless Eldrazi deck is really good against miracles. Which, if true, means I welcome our new Eldrazi overlords.
Well, we know which of us is the betrayer.
That's right.
Well, to be fair, though, it's anti-blue, so it's really not much of a betrayal.
Yeah, it's really not. Yeah, that was not only...
Blues, you're a well-intentioned extremist.
Now, as a Legacy Observer, just looking at 9 Eldrazi decks, 8 lands decks, and 7 miracles decks making up the top 3 of day 2, I don't think I ever want to play another Legacy event. How's that sound?
Well, given that those are the numbers that you're seeing here, yeah, that's perfectly fair. But
you don't have to worry about it. There will never be another Legacy event.
Good news for some. There are some other interesting decks still floating around outside of the top 8. We do have Elves in 10th place, which is always nice to see. Big, big fan of the Elves. We have a Storm deck out in 14th. I believe that is Ant, if memory serves. We have an Imperial Painter deck out in 16th, which is always cool to see. The Imperial Painter, the Painter's Servant is actually interesting tech against the colorless Eldrazi, because they're not colorless anymore. So just keep that in mind.
Well, it turns off a lot of their lands, which is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Death and Taxes in 18th place. Burn out in 22nd. Is there anything special about this burn, or is it pretty typical? Light your face on fire.
Is there such a thing as a pretty special?
Whoa, Brendan McCarley, what are you doing? Sir, what are you doing?
He's drawing more burn.
Why is there a Sensei's Divining Top in your deck?
So he can draw more burn.
But that card doesn't belong, period, full stop.
Does it not? Because you run out of...
That card's an abomination.
But in burn, you run out of cards and you want to see more so you can draw the best one.
Embrace the heresy.
But burn doesn't have like the luxury though of like, well, okay, turn one top and next turn I'll spin the top to draw a lightning bolt. Like, I don't know if you can win a game if it's taxing itself every turn.
Well, that's why there's only the one.
So you lose the games where you draw it.
No. Well, maybe. I'm saying it actually makes a little bit of sense to have it as a one of for those games where you run your hand out and then you didn't win yet.
And I'm saying I'm philosophically opposed. We have standards.
I mean, philosophically, no, this is Legacy.
I think so, I'm just like totally opposed from a deck building standpoint. I don't think it's good.
Well, so it was at least good enough.
Are you more okay with the colorless Sensei's Divining Top or the 4 white, white, black, black spell in your red deck?
Well, that's...
Oh, Ashen Rider, that's just there for Omnitail. Look, yeah, that's normal side.
No, I know. I'm just pointing out that there are uses for these things that aren't strictly, I'm lighting it on fire.
Yeah, well...
it's how the game works.
Okay, but if you're going to have the top, you at least put it in the sideboard. And as a matter of fact, just take it out of the sideboard and put something else in there. Maybe another Pithing Needle. That's what I'm going to say.
So what's up with the 28th place white-red Death and Taxes?
Good question. Let's take a look at the list.
Bacon and Taxes.
So because Death and Taxes is usually white, right?
Mostly, yeah.
Okay, so what's in the red one?
Oh, Magus of the Moon.
Imperial Recruiter.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a Fire Slinger in the board. What?
There is, in fact, a Fire Slinger in the board.
What?
I still appreciate the art on Fire Slinger. It reminds me of old comic books so much.
That's fair.
Like, yeah, like if you put a metal mask on him, it's totally Doctor Doom.
It is.
It's Doctor Doom, but with a Spider-Man backdrop.
Yeah, for some reason. I need more pictures of Fire Slinger.
Get me more pictures. Parker, it'll be her job.
Anyway.
Fire Slinger, enemy or menace? Okay, so
which side
there
of the board
you go.
Is it on?
That was good point. So that was the legacy that was. It's interesting. So, I think we'll adapt to it, but I think for a little while at least, folks have new toys to play with, and they're gonna go wild.
Yeah, I mean the Eldrazi deck is already really good in Modern, where really you only have the Eldrazi Temple and the Eye of Ugin. So when you throw Ancient Tomb and City of Traders in there, it's just
and Wasteland. You're subject to Wasteland yourself, which is probably a good way to hurt the Eldrazi deck, but it may be too late by the time you blow up their land.
Well, that's true. Maybe it's not so stupid because you have to throw in these other 2-mana lands to compensate for 4 Wastelands in every opponent's deck.
I think it's also important to note that 2 of the decks in the top 32 had Magus of the Moon in the main. So like that and Blood Moon are definitely ways to also fight this if you can get them out with Disruption in this format.
Yep.
The Eldrazi deck is pretty sad.
I just appreciate the fact that they're going to be able to repurpose Eldrazi event decks for the upcoming super crazy legacy thing coming out later this year. And then you will buy them for $10 a pack.
All right. Well, let's move on to what's next. Modern.
Modern.
I am the Modern man. Secret. I've got a secret. Anyone? No? Okay.
Well, I mean, I know what you're doing. I'm just not rewarding it.
I appreciate that.
So you're Kilroy?
Thank you!
don't encourage him. No.
Please don't. It's not safe. All right. So this is Modern, where clearly the Eldrazi have run rampant and are like 8 of the top 8, right?
Gonna be nothing but Eldrazi as far as the eye can see.
Yep. Well, let's see. Jonathan Delano won with Jund. Wait, what?
Well, there went my eye.
Is it Jund Eldrazi?
It is.
That is terrifying.
I think I pooped a little. But no, it's Jund. Although it does have, one Dark Dweller and one Kalatas. So it's like looking at standard going, I like that.
Well, Kalatas just makes the rounds.
Yeah, he's kind of the one of filthy whore for every deck that has black, so.
Wow, you made that a lot worse than I meant.
Totally, yeah. Like, we spotted him in every deck in the first week after he was printed, and he's still there. They haven't gone like, he's not that great, cause he is. But, yeah, Jund in Modern is pretty much always Jund in Modern.
I think that the damnation in the main is pretty important.
Holy crap, I didn't even see that.
I mean, like, as a one of, it's a pretty sweet one of, especially when you're trying to beat the Eldrazi, cause damnation's a pretty easy way to deal with, like, their most aggressive starts. And then you're just like, oh, well, cool, I'll spell Liliana now, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't really get a lot of chances to go wide once they dump all of the things that can just freely fly out. So.
Yeah, they're not drawing cards or anything. Like, Eye of Ugin late is fine, but yeah, they're never doing anything more than that initial burst, which is usually good enough, don't get me wrong, but.
You need to be able to address it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he is running 3 Terminates and 2 Abrupt Decays, too. That's. I mean, the Abrupt Decays slightly less.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not just 4 Terminates, honestly, just because, like, Abrupt Decay's really bad against the heavy hitters. But, like, as long as you have some sort of interaction on those early turns, like, and Jund is always good at that, just having some interaction. And every time you have that kind of interaction, you can beat, you know, even the Eldrazi. They can be, you know, felled. Is that the word I want?
Yeah, we'll go with that. Like a mighty oak or something.
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
I'm helping.
Crush that mimic.
So here's where the Eldrazi menace starts. Second place, Brian Koval with the blue-white version that we saw last week. Yep, this is pretty much it. Because the Displacer is really good, and Path to Exile is really good. So why not?
Yeah, it's not like you're down colors.
Okay, so now it'll be 7 Eldrazi. Third place is Burned. What?
Fuego!
And it's the Naya Burn with all of the green and the white and with the burn, with the fire and the burning and the wild Nacogle. Damn. Can we not call this burn?
There is a format where you can go where your burn decks don't run the top.
Yay.
Is it vintage?
No.
That's not a format, Clues. Where'd you even come up with that?
Okay, so that means it'll be Eldrazi from here on out. Fourth place is... Storm Eldrazi, apparently. It just says Storm, but I think they just forgot.
Yeah, it's got to be Storm Eldrazi.
Yeah. So, nope, this is Storm with, you know, Pyromancer, Ascension, and Grapeshot. You know the deck. It's the modern Storm deck. Interesting. That's not Eldrazi at all.
It's got Snowlands.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, it's got Is it running Scrid?
Nope, it's just playing Snowlands.
It's just got Snowlands.
Oh, okay, good. Good on you.
It's funnier that way.
Tim Cicino. Let's see. Oh, by the way, Bryant Cook was the man running Burn. Fifth place, here we go. Living End, Eldrazi. Nope, just Living End. Brett Schmuckler. By the way, your name is awesome. But I haven't actually seen a Living End deck in a little while.
I do appreciate even more Dark Dwellers running around.
Yeah, it's actually a really nice touch in this deck.
You know? Yeah, it just casts Living End, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice way to do it.
Man, actually, like, I really, really like that. Like, that's an insane little, like, just, like, oh, he's tapping five. What could he possibly have? Oh.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. So, I mean, other than that, one Dark Dwellers, which is a nice touch, it's a good old Living End deck. It's got Beast Within, which I think Beast Within, while not necessarily a staple, I think was always in the deck here and there.
Yep.
I'm glad he's backing me up on this, since my other two don't know either.
Beast Within is pretty common in these lists. It's been varying numbers.
Okay. Yeah, Beast Within's been good for a while, and in this deck, you don't actually care that they get a token, because they're not going to get to keep it.
That's very true. Okay, here we go. Here's the Eldrazi Mana. Sixth place, Nate Sturm running Bant Eldrazi, which, good lord. So now the Eldrazi are fanning out. Now there's three colors in one deck.
It's a good thing Elspeth's not here to see this.
I know, she'd be very sad. It's running the Drowner, the Sky Spawner, and the Displacer, and a Worldbreaker for the green.
Because why not?
Because, yeah, what the hell. And that gives you access to, nope, never mind. It gives you access to a second Worldbreaker in your board.
Yeah!
I was like, well, there's got to be something green in the board to... No, they just really like Worldbreaker, which seems fine, actually.
Like, all the best cards to deal with, like, you know, quote-unquote best cards to deal with Eldrazi are things like Worship or, like, Ensnaring Bridge. So Worldbreaker seems like a pretty easy way to kill your opponent while also getting rid of those things.
Yeah, seems good. Especially since the Eldrazi have turned one of the... Or several of the tools used against them, they've absorbed them like the Path to Exile.
We are one now.
Exactly. Like, because they actually are the Phyrexians. Oh, God!
We will be complete.
So, seventh place, Bradley Robinson running Abzan Company, which, you know, it's this deck again.
It sure is.
This one is... Oh, there's Malira. Okay. I was going to say, this one isn't running. Yeah, it is. Never mind. Nothing. It's got Malira. It's got Red Cap and Finks. We're good.
Hooray.
Hey, girl. Okay, moving on. Eighth place. What?
Oh, say something. It's fine. Whatever.
Do what?
That deck had an Intrepid here on the sideboard, which is pretty cute.
Really? Are you serious?
Yeah. The old tap for destroy target creature.
It does. Look at that. That's hilarious.
He's a trooper.
That's a cool hit off a company, and you're just like, oh, I'm going to kill your guys now.
Oh, I love it. And then, in eighth place, Benjamin... Oh, Lord. Benjamin Nikolic.
Nikolic.
Benjamin Nikolic. Benjamin N is running Blue-Red Control. What?
Yeah. I mean, you got to get that Karinus in there somewhere.
Well, that's true. Is there the one Karinus in the board? There it is.
Per state law.
So, yeah, this is a straight-up Blue-Red Control deck. Snapcaster Mage, Mon Pa Nalar, Chandra Pyromaster. Remember her?
Yeah.
She was the previous good one.
She's still good.
And then four, count them, four Blood Moons in the main, because screw you, metagame.
it's a little known fact that when we're doing deck checks, we're really just checking for the deck that has Karinos in the board so that everything's okay and we don't have to call off the tournament.
Well, I mean,
Or even worse, call the cops. That'd be awful. Let's see, but Batterskull is in here for more of the beats. And then it's all just control. Just control. Just good lord. It's removal and counters, and that's all you get. It's insane. It's old school control deck.
It's even got Serum Visions.
Yeah, because, you know, draw
cards. Why not? I love cards. I love scrying.
What the hell else are you doing on turn one? Not much.
And a stone rain in the board, because screw you.
Because screw you. So, yeah. Apparently, at least in, where are we at? Philly. The Eldrazi Menace did not completely eat Modern. Imagine that.
There's still six of the top 16 lists.
True, but it's not, you know, 12 of the top 16 lists like all the naysayers.
It only ate most of its limbs. The torso is still fine.
Okay, sorry, I had to type that into possible show titles. but now how many people were at the in the Modern event? 193. So, yeah. Now, how many did you say were in the top 16? 1, 2, 3, 4, 6.
Six.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, of course they're still there because it's a really good deck, but it's not just running over everything and needs an emergency ban. Everybody shut up.
It is convenient that if you get the pieces for it, you can play multiple formats, though.
Yeah, that is pretty nice. Just take your Modern deck to Legacy, throw in a couple extra things, you're good to go.
A couple $100 of extra things.
Well, look, no one said it was easy.
Yeah.
City of Traders counts as extra things.
Yeah, you mean you don't have them lying around? I keep them over here with my money hat.
Jace's and City of Traders, please.
Sold. Let's see, then round out of the top 16, there's the blue-white Eldrazi version, another Jund, another Infect. Wait, no, this is the first Infect. That was Legacy where there was an Infect. Yay, Infect. And it's not capitalized, so this is
little Infect. Not yay, Infect. Come on.
It's Modern. No one cares.
Little Infect.
Colorless Eldrazi rears its admittedly ugly head in 12th. 13th place is just named Zoo. Oh, it's the Death Shadow Zoo deck.
Suicide Zoo.
Yeah.
Oh, Suicide Zoo sounds like an amazing movie.
We haven't actually talked about this deck on the show yet, I don't think.
Hold on. Is Suicide Zoo a horror movie or a really, really sad, like, indie pick where, like, lions are depressed?
I was actually thinking that it would be a romantic comedy that comes out on Valentine's Day that has really misleading ads.
I think we did that already, actually.
Oh, well, in that case, no. Let's just go with the sad thing.
Yeah, I like the sad thing, yeah. I think Homicide Zoo would be the terrible horror movie. Suicide Zoo is the depressing movie.
Homicide Zoo is like a noir detective film.
Imagine like the zookeeper just sort of leaning back and just going, when the dame walked into my office, she told me I need to clean out the tiger cage. Some days that's all I ever do.
See, what popped into my head was a lion wearing a hat, like a fedora and a trench coat, smoking a cigarette in heavy contrast lighting.
In walks Ace Heart, Private Eye.
Oh, man. Like, in walks this gazelle, legs up to here. I ate it.
That's like a haiku.
In walks a gazelle. Anyway. All right, we're good. Back on track. So yeah, the Suicide Zoo deck it's a standard zoo. It starts as a standard zoo deck. It's got your Wild Nacatl, your Step Links. It's got Monastery Swift Spear because, you know, Taylor Swift Spear, which is a little weird for a zoo deck. But then you look at the non-creature spells. It's got Thoughtseize and Gitaxian Probe and Teemer Battle Rage and Mutagenic Growth and Embiggen. I mean, Become Immense.
You're playing Combat Storm.
Yeah, essentially. There are four lightning bolts, so we'll go with that. There's Mishra's Bauble, which just cycles.
For zero, so sweet.
Yeah, so this is a very old trick where it's essentially a 56 card deck.
Might as well.
You know, that's a thing. I guess they didn't need four cards that actually did stuff.
Well, I mean, like, if you look at it that way, it's a 48 card deck, right? Because it's like four Street Wraith, four
Street Wraith too.
And four Gitaxian Probe. So it's like a 48 card deck.
Well, at least the Gitaxian Probe and the Street Wraith at least cost life. So that's a little something.
They do. They cost your opponent more life because you're hitting them with a Swift Spear.
Yeah, there's that. But the big thing about this deck is it's running Death Shadow. I'm going to sneeze.
Did we say cost life? I mean, we mean converts life into murder. You want less life. It'll be great.
I'm apparently allergic to Death Shadow. But yeah, Death Shadow, in case you forgot.
That's fair.
is for a single black, it's a 13-13, which sounds ridiculous, but it gets minus X minus X, where X is your life total. But bear in mind, so it's not only running the Street Wraith and the Gitaxian Probe and the Mutagenic Growth, and I guess that's it. But every land in the deck hurts you, because the plan is to, well, if you don't overrun your opponent with your fast, efficient creatures and all of your, what'd you call it, Combat Storm, then you bring yourself down real low with all of your lands and whatnot, and use Death Shadow to kill your opponent. Which Death Shadow plus Temur Battle Rage is comedy. It's comedy gold.
Yep. And when you're running those Phyrexian Unlife in the board, Death Shadow is a 13-13. It's great.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. Like, just like actually having it as a 13-13, it's got to feel good.
Living in fear of whatever they're going to do to your Phyrexian Unlife, but beyond that, it's wonderful. Like, no, you're fine. Good.
I mean, it's like, not like they're running a blocker.
Oh. You ruined the fun.
So, but yeah, it's an interesting take. It's a bizarre combination. Like, it's an infectless infect deck. Because.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah. Like, so if you want to run all these cards, but you really don't want to be a jerk and play infect, this is the deck for you, man. Totally.
Clues.
Clues, I think you're muted again.
I'm sorry, what?
Exactly.
Never mind. Clues was looking at Legacy again.
Just in case it changed.
Pretty much, yeah. All right, so finishing off the top 16, another blue-white Eldrazi, more colorless Eldrazi, and then the modern Merfolk deck, which is not far removed from the Legacy Merfolk deck. But since it's not really doing well in Legacy at the moment, they just shifted it to modern, where it's doing plenty.
Yeah.
It was one of the few decks that was doing okay against some of the forms of Eldrazi, so... Maybe not so much against blue-white, unfortunately, but the colorless versions at least had a fighting chance. Go fish, I guess.
That's a different game.
So you know what's... It's, well, yeah, we're not playing Vintage here. So you know what's missing from this this top 16?
Ooh, Twin.
You are correct, sir, but you know what's missing from this top 16 that's legal in Modern?
Oh.
Tron?
No, because Tron... Kind of. Doesn't it just roll over to Eldrazi?
Decepticons!
Decepticons is what I was going for. There's no robots, no Decepticons, no affinity. Those are all the same deck.
Is there anything in disguise?
Well, I mean, Living End is sort of in disguise.
It's possible that lowercase infect is in fact a disguise. And that is the tell.
It's entirely possible. But yeah, where did the robots go? We don't know, because... There's no metagame breakdown because this was just a classic and no one cares. But don't worry. Next week, we have the three big GPs that are modern. So it's one more time. It's Detroit, Bologna, and I don't have it open in front of me. Where's the third one? Never mind. I'll look it up.
I will consult. You continue speaking.
Well, this was all I was going to say. So hang on. It's in... Melbourne. Yeah, there we go. Duh. So that's where we'll really get to see. It's the next. So we had the Pro Tour, and then what was it, the next week or the week after that the Star City was modern?
It was 2 weeks after that, I think.
Okay, so 2 weeks after that, the Star City Open was modern. And then there hasn't been anything since then. So except for these little open events, and those aren't really a good way to see which way the meta is going. On a large scale. So we'll get to see worldwide how everything is shaping up. Is it going to engulf the Eldrazi with all of its answers, or are the Eldrazi going to actually destroy everything? We don't know. I guess we'll find out. Send your vote to whether you want the Eldrazi to take over or to get crushed. Tweet at La Cluse.
No.
Do not tell them why. La
Cluse. Tweet at Squee Goblin Nabob. There's no I in Goblin.
I mean, you can if you want to, but I'll reply, so.
We never send them his way. It's about time.
Yeah, it's because you always send people my way, so I'd send them yours. It's a rivalry.
I mean, if you're sending attention to me, I'll take it. I'm fine with that.
That is true. Anyway, so that was modern. Let's go back to standard for this other open, or this other classic, whatever it's called, the little one, damn it. How many people were playing there? 170 people playing standard. And Josh Halmagi, Maggie, Josh H is playing Bad Company. Hey, look at that.
Yeah.
We happen to have a guy who knows something about that.
It's got Nissa in it. The flippy Nissa.
Ooh. Yeah, this one also gets rid of Sky Spawners, and I don't understand. I don't understand. This is a sweet hint, but
technically Nissa sorta is a Sky Spawner since it's giving you an extra mana.
But it doesn't give you an extra mana though. Like it gets you a land card, but it doesn't ramp you like Sky Spawner does.
Well, that's true. I keep forgetting Nissa puts it in your hand because she's actually sort of fair.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably like metagame dependent, but I don't know. I know people personally too who are like, oh well, Sky Spawner's like it's a fine card, and I'm like, no, you're just judging it because like it's some common, but it's actually disgusting. Well, okay, it's literally disgusting, but it's also like really good.
yeah.
But
I think the coolest thing in this list though, like the treasure crews and the board are interesting, but I think the lantern scouts are pretty awesome in the sideboard.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. I'm like, oh yeah.
Cause like, you can just wreck combat math if you are just like, all right, well, you attacked, you know, collect the company. Oh, lantern scout triggers. and also yours, Sylvan Advocates are also allies too, so you can get extra triggers later if one's in play. So, it can probably do a lot of work.
I just appreciate the fact that the Lantern Scout gives them lifelink, whereas the Ringmate Grok is separate life gain. So you might actually just gain a ton of life and be like, and? Oh yeah, rock life. Wonderful.
No, that's actually pretty, yeah, that's awesome. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna gain it all. How's that sound? Like all of it. It's gonna be for me.
And there's no infect in standard, so your life total actually matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But infect wasn't just another life total.
Yeah,
what you talking about, Clues?
Yeah.
It's a stubborn life total.
What? So. explain that, Clues.
Oh, well, Morrow's goal with Infect was that it wasn't supposed to just be another life total.
Oh, no, I understood that. I didn't understand that. It's a stubborn life total. That's totally the one I
did. Oh, because it's one that can't go back up.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, because
okay.
It ruins the symmetry of magic, which is just great, because that's exactly what you want. Let's also shatter the color pie while we're at it. Now, oh, why not? Let's just print some more tops.
Bees! But Morrow is bugging you, just yell bees at him and he'll go away.
So you're complaining about like breaking things that the color pies do, but you like Legacy, right? That's what you said?
Yeah, I do like Legacy.
Blues really likes all of the things about Legacy but Blues. So what we're saying is he doesn't actually like Legacy very much.
Yeah, apparently. You're a mud player, aren't you?
No. I play goblins, I play elves, I play affinity. I play really fast aggro decks in Legacy.
Dude, because Blues likes to eat lunch.
Because I like to eat lunch.
I say that as if Clues actually plays in tournaments. Clues doesn't get to eat lunch because Clues is a judge.
That's right. If I'm lucky, I get time for lunch. If I'm real lucky.
If you get your mandatory DQs out of the way early.
Hey, those aren't mandatory.
Oh, so you do that by choice. Okay.
Oh, my God. All right. Moving on before this degenerates further.
Second place
is... Well, it's another green-red ramp deck, but this one is...
Different.
It's a little different. It's running Sylvan Advocates and three Chandra Flamecaller, along with the Ugin and the Ulamog and Dragonlord Atarka, a full set of Worldbreakers, because why not?
Yeah. This one really overloads on the top end.
Like hard.
Yeah.
Well, that's like why it's running things like Oath of Nissa in there, too. It's like, no, really, gotta get there.
Yeah, I do like the Kozilek's return in the main as a, oh god, we didn't get there yet.
and Sylvan Advocate's been a card that's seen a lot of play in these decks back and forth, but its interaction with Kozilek's Return is pretty cute as well. Like, oh, I have three toughness. I like this, you know, this two damage burn spell.
Oh, okay. By interaction, you mean not dying. Got it.
Yeah. It's a positive interaction.
It is. It's
a positive interaction. You have built your deck that way.
Everything else is dead. Isn't that great?
Oh, God. I was about to show my age and make a reference to Ali Rod back in the day, but
I don't know who that is.
The Sylvan Safekeeper, the guy on Sylvan Safekeeper.
Ah, right.
So like way back in the day, he broke a format by playing a bunch of 2/3s because the defining card was Pyroclasm. So he just built a deck full of crappy 2/3s like Giant Fighter. No kidding. Won a Pro Tour. So
you're good, man.
Because everything in his deck had 3 toughness, so he just won. Huh, how about that? Anyway, moving on. And I apologize if there are any factual errors in that. It might not have been a ProTour. It was a long time ago. I don't remember.
I apologize for any factual errors.
Yes. What's next? More Hardened Scales. More Jeskai Dragons. Here's a green-blue Eldrazi deck. What is this?
It's a Eldrazi deck with green and blue.
Oh, it's running... Oh, Lord.
It's the part of the Water Veil version that was more common before Oath.
Yeah, I had forgotten about this because I was afraid.
That's understandable.
So when you're ramping into things like Ulamog and the Ugin, paying the Awaken cost for part the Water Veil is not so hard. And even if you don't awaken it, just paying six to take an extra turn is
enough. Well,
yeah, it's not that hard. When some of the big things in your deck costs 10 or 8, then what's 6? Nothing.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'll just swing with Ulamog, part the Water Veil, go. Oh, it's my turn? Oh, What's next? Moving on. More Jeskai Black. More, let's see. Hang on. This is, Unblack Company. There we go. Atarka Red. What? Where's this deck been?
Hiding from the Eldrazi.
Wow. It's running a full 4 copies of Nissa, Voice of Zendikar. And it's running Outnumber.
This was the Josh Uter-Layton tech from MOCS 2 weeks ago where he had that stuff in the board so you could go a little bit bigger. The Nissa tech has gotten to be pretty common actually. It's pretty sweet with all your Dragon Fodders and Hordling Outbursts. And yeah, Outnumber is sort of like this weird forgotten removal spell that everyone's like, oh, right, no, this card's good.
Yeah. Someone cast it for a red. You're like, let me see that.
Like, wait, how much did that kill?
Oh. What does that do? Oh, yeah, well, you have to discard a card. Never mind that you just did 5 with 1, man. Shut up. That's a Reality Smasher joke, kids. Ask your parents.
You didn't even talk about the goblin.
And there's Bushwhackers. There, you happy now?
Yay.
Who is so good that it's not funny? It's really not. But speaking of things we haven't seen in a while, here's an Abzan aggro deck. What? Straight up. Yeah. Not even playing.
Simple goals.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Yeah, everything else is things we've talked about already. So there you go. That was standard.
Yay.
Yay. How are you feeling about standard, Mike? I know you just, qualified for the Pro Tour on it, but how do you feel about it?
Despite being a little frustrated with how consistent some of the decks are, I've actually really liked where the format's gotten. Now, if the format was exactly this for another 3 months, I'd probably tell you I don't like it. But knowing we're coming to an end of the format, I've actually really enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, this is less degenerate and boring and stale as other ends of the formats have been.
No, I agree. I think so many of the decks are, like, even the decks that are super powerful are still, like, interactive. Like, outside of ramp, like, the decks have been seeking out like the tiny little interactions, like the one dispels in the main, those sorts of things to try and beat people. And I like when people are deck building that way. It makes for a fun format where you can sort of like outplay people as opposed to, granted, yeah, sometimes you just lose to Rhino, and I'm sorry, but I hate to crash your party. See, because Rhinos, they come in crashes.
Yep.
Yep.
Very nice.
That was pretty good.
Have you considered becoming a judge?
No. Bad clues. I'm going to get the squirt bottle. It makes blue. You don't like it.
That's because it's got Windex in it. Please don't spray clues in the face with Windex.
That's how we learn.
I mean, sure, it'll clean his glasses, but damn.
Clean his face.
Doesn't it heal wounds too? Right? Isn't that the thing?
I'm sorry, what?
Doesn't like Windex heal wounds? Wasn't that like, that's a joke from a really old bad movie. I'm sorry.
Oh man.
What movie was Windex? That?
Yeah, even I don't get that one. I'm sorry.
It's not, all right. I'm going to do this myself and I'm sorry, but it's definitely My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Okay. That explains why I don't know that one because I haven't
actually. Okay.
Okay.
I typed in Windex heal and it gave me Windex health hazard, blah, blah. It hit space after the L and it goes, does Windex heal wounds? So I clicked on it. And the first thing I see is, can Windex really be used to cure stuff like on My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Well, what's the answer, Chewy?
I'm not going to click on it. But yeah, I'm going to guess the answer is no.
I'm really sorry that I know that. I apologize for that. I don't know what else I'm supposed to say there.
Look, to be fair, while I've never seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding, I've always meant to see it. So
that makes me feel better.
I don't knock things I haven't seen. Unless they're Jim and the Holograms, but no one saw that.
So hey, hey, Jim is excitement, but not the movie.
The movie.
Yeah. You know full well which one I'm making fun of.
So, how about some news?
Yay, news.
Tournament's over.
Clues. Magic is done. What's the first thing you got there?
So, hey, super exciting things. We know there is a Conspiracy set coming this year.
That's
so
what I've been told.
Conspiracy 2. And it's great news. It is the Reign of Brago.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Brago. Brago is a great guy.
Yeah, so we got the full announcement. Comes out in August, late August. We have 221 cards. Conspiracy Reign of Brago. That's what we know so far. The packs are going to be a reasonable $4, not like 10. So
isn't that a great selling point in this wide world of special sets?
It is. It totally is. So if you enjoyed the first Conspiracy, new Conspiracy coming to you soon. Hooray.
All right.
Yay. Okay, so.
Speaking of expensive crap.
So today, excuse me, I died. Today.
So we died a little.
Mark the time. Today, they announced From the Vault lore. And this is really
From the Vault, Data's older brother.
Yes. I'm sorry. I thought it was From the Vault. All creatures that can block this have to.
Oh, that'd be neat.
Oh wait, that's From the Vault lure. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh well, what they did was
misspell it.
They took 15 of the old books that used to come in fat packs, and they've just put them in a single box for you.
But now they're foiled.
Ooh, they're still not very good though.
Someone has already pointed out the joke that if you look at the set symbol that they're using, they already show you what happens to cards with the foiling process.
Oh.
That was not my joke. I'm just repeating it, but it's a good one.
The set symbol is a castle, like in the Rook sense, which is also like a rolled up scroll. So
it's curling at the bottom. Curling. Yes. It's not just for ice.
It's not just for Canadians.
So this set has all cards with lore in the title, right? So it's just like living lore, monastery lore, master,
forgotten lore, forbidden lore, forgotten lore, whatever it's called. Yeah. But, so let me just read the thing here. Delve deeper into the events that shaped the multiverse and show your opponents that those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So it includes cards from throughout Magic history that are renowned for both their power and the stories behind them. So that's cool. It's actually, because Magic the Gathering From the Vault official Magic fiction was stupid. So they just called it lore. So that's fine.
Admittedly, this does fit better on the type line.
Totally, yeah. But it's the same deal as usual. It's got 15 of the weirdly foiled cards. This one will have 3 with new art. That's cool. Spin down counter collector's guide. Yep, the unique foil process, whatever. In English only, an extremely limited print run. Okay.
Because reasons.
Yep. Release date, August 19th. Magic Online release date, October 10th, because screw you, Magic Online. And MSRP is $34.99, so good luck with that.
Hey, if it's not very good, it'll stay that.
Yeah, that's true. From the Vault Lands wasn't worth terribly much. And it's got art here that looks oddly like Simic Dude.
Mjolnir Vig.
That's the one, yeah. Is that what we've pretty much decided this is? Is this Mjolnir Vig?
Looks like him.
Like, so it doesn't actually have to be the legend Mjolnir Vig, though. It could just be like some action, right? If it's depicting moments, but I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember enough about the storyline from whatever set Mjolnir Vig was in.
It's original Ravnica, right?
Yeah, he was first Ravnica, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's.
I don't remember enough of the story to know if he himself did anything that mattered.
Right.
Or if he's just there.
I think the issue that I have with this is simply that I can't really speculate what will be in this at all.
Sure you can.
Like, I can just like blindly guess like normal, but.
No, I mean,
it feels like a very loose definition to get 15 cards into.
Nah, this one's easy. It's things that are central to the story. So things like things I've seen on Twitter are like the Hell Vault could be. Taken.
That's totally what we need is a premium foil Hell Vault.
Deicide is one that we were talking about earlier.
Oh, see.
That would actually be a good choice.
That's storyline.
Seriously, there was no loving for the premium Hell Vault joke.
It was so subtle that I didn't see it. Okay. That was nice. That was real nice.
We can't all get a premium Hell Vault, but we can all be angry we didn't.
I have a regular Hell Vault right here behind me.
Which I guess totally fits in that most people won't actually get the From the Vault lore.
That's also very true.
I also thought older card, like Planar Chaos is one I thought was cool, Planar Collapse.
Ooh,
which is like,
that could work.
When Urza just like destroyed Sarah's Sanctum, he's like, hey, I need this mana. And just like killed all the angels. That was cool.
That's mine.
So are we just going to get like Legacy Weapon or something in here?
That would make sense.
Yeah.
See, that's sort of the thing is though, like narrowing it down to 15 is hard, but also I think you could justify a lot of things. Now, the real question is what cards that people consider like super amazing would fall into this versus it just being a, here's 15 neat cards, because usually they try to push it a little bit. And I don't know, like usually the speculation is like, well, that's a really amazing card that people want more of.
Yeah. Like Damnation. Wait,
we don't get that. You know better.
Cause that wasn't in the From the Vault that it should have been in, right?
Nope.
And then
either of the Modern Masters.
Yeah. And then it wasn't in Modern Masters 2 to make up for it not being in From the Vault, right?
The fact that it wasn't in From the Vault should be Damnation. It means that I don't know that we're ever getting it.
Did they move it to the reserve list and not tell anyone?
It's on the secret reserved list.
Oh.
The one where Hornet Sting is.
The one with the bacon mac.
Bees! So yeah, this is fun. Hopefully it'll be fun anyway. That's cool. Yeah.
I know that it comes with a token, so speculate on that.
That would be Dark Depths, right?
Hopefully.
Dark Depths didn't have anything to do with the story, did it?
Well, that was like the whole crux of going,
like the Ice Age? The
whole Ice Age thing. It's like, we gotta let Merit Lage, like that Merit Lage is like the divining or the villainous deciding factor or whatever, I don't know.
Oh, you know what, now that you say that I realize I didn't actually know anything about the story from Ice Age Block.
It's not good, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know that the book, the first one was not bad. Wasn't that The Gathering Dark? Was that the first one back then?
I've read them. It's been a very long time, so yeah. I could not tell you.
So that one was actually interesting, in at least in the way they try to explain the way magic works in magic, like the connections to the land and all that. They actually worked out a way that worked to go with the mechanics in the card game. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I only read the first one because it came with, I think it came with the Cold Snap Fat Pack. They reprinted it and I read it, but I didn't get to read any of the follow-ups because those had been out of print for years. So what the hell?
Cold Snap was weird, you guys.
Yeah. Cold Snap was like the century. It was a big lie. If you got that joke, tweet at La Clusée with no context.
It'll be like every other day in my Twitter feed.
Pretty much, yeah. But anyway, so that was From the Vault lore. More, of course, as we learn.
Feel like 2 weeks before when they tell us.
Exactly. Feel free to speculate at us because I'd love to see what you guys think. Okay, that's that. What is next? Oh, F&M promos. So we've got Smash to Smithereens for March. Yep. That's pretty cool. Blighted Fen for April. Did we talk about this last week or last month? Because I don't recognize this at all.
I think we did. Okay. It might have been the episode you missed.
Oh, that could be. Yeah. So yeah, this is gross. I mean, awesome.
Blighted.
And then in May, this actually opens up a bit of conversation. In May, the F&M promo is Goblin Warchief.
Yup.
Now.
So the shadow over Innistrad is goblins.
I'm going to guess not. When does Eternal Masters come out again?
Sometime?
May, I believe.
Yeah. So this makes me wonder if Goblin Warchief will be in Eternal Masters, because it is not modern legal and it is used in Legacy. At least when goblins are good, it's used a lot. And now it's a May F&M promo. So,
It definitely seems to point that way. I guess that's an easy way to help people make a Legacy deck, right? Like, hey, we gave you Pile Driver in Origins and here's this F&M promo Warchief. Now open Eternal Masters and get your lackeys and everything else.
Yeah. And you'd be good to go.
Not that Goblins was an incredibly expensive Legacy deck that's preventing people from getting into the format, but no, that actually seems about par for the course.
The ability to jump in on a Legacy deck that doesn't require duels is probably a goal.
I mean, it does have Wastelands and Ports, right?
Not always. Wastelands, yes. Ports, not always.
You can open those in the current set. What you want?
Totally. But yeah, and it's got, he looks very Warchief-y in the art, I must say.
I really appreciate that. It actually feels like old art in its own special way from the coloring.
Yeah.
I like the raccoons over his shoulders. That's nice.
Plural. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When I first saw the card art, which is very small, I thought he had like a weird ponytail. I was like, that's really, oh no, it's dead raccoons over each
shoulder. It's totally dead raccoons.
Well, I mean, they're just trash pandas. So that's
we're assuming they're dead. He is a goblin.
So they're just unconscious? Like,
it could be. I mean, for all we know, the one on the right's Mario. We have no idea.
That's how he's got haste.
I mean, probably have haste if there were live raccoons on your back, too.
So does that mean he has a P-wing?
No, because he can't fly.
Oh. Yeah, P-wings auto-fly. Get with the times, man.
But you have to run real fast to be able to fly, and you can fly immediately, which means you have haste, right? That was my logic there, in case. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Okay,
I always just assumed that if you had a P-Wing, you were allowed to skip two rounds of the tournament and eat lunch.
I'm just glad that he's two-fisting it with the weapons and still has an extra dagger, just in case.
Just in case.
All right, well, moving on, we have something about artists.
Chewie, yeah, there's some late-breaking news here.
Trolling Reddit again? You're on Reddit, aren't you?
I might be. It was just handed to me. You know that conspiracy set that's coming this summer?
The one with Brago.
Yeah, the Reign of Brago. It's actually now, I've just been told it's called the Empty Throne.
Brago is in that throne. What happened?
Yeah, the card count has been reduced to 220, down from 221. So I'm sorry to say, I believe the Reign of Brago may have come to an abrupt end.
Oh, I'm seeing this now. It looks like there was a coup.
Yeah. Oh,
come on, really? But I really like the direction that Brago was taking the country.
Yeah, you know, I think we all did. His policies were taking some time to get into motion, but
I mean, like, if everything was going well, then whoever's in charge next is just going to take the credit. Is that how this works?
Well, see, now we're dealing with a power vacuum in this next set.
Oh, so maybe that's the conspiracy, is that, you know, because there's an empty throne, like, whose butt gets to sit on it?
Right.
So none of you are worried about how a ghost was killed?
No, we kill those all the time.
As I understand it, stabbed in the neck.
Oh, like it's ghost neck?
Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense. How do you kill a ghost?
Like, as someone who dies all the time, it still hurts to get stabbed in the neck.
We'll just say the ghost neck mode.
I have no idea what Chewie just said.
Go to the next thing. I got it.
Chewie, this is a trying time. Someone has just died. Take it seriously.
Specifically,
someone dead just died. Okay.
Yeah, and that scares me as someone who dies. It's supposed to come back. You can't just kill something while it's dead.
Yeah. Okay. So our next little bit of news. So we have found out, we've been told that, okay, so you got to understand, for years now, there's been this issue. I'm going to call it, long ago, someone at WotC thought it would be a fantastic idea to essentially sign the rights to Magic Art playmats over to Ultra Pro indefinitely. That if Magic Art appeared, if art appeared on a Magic card, Ultra Pro essentially has the rights to make the playmats of those. And this has been a problem, particularly for Magic artists who want to, you know, come to tournaments and have a table and they want to sell stuff. And people are always like, oh, man, I love your artwork. I love this card. I wish you had a playmat of this card. And the artists are basically like, yep, I wish I had a playmat of that, too. Because Ultra Pro gets to decide what they make into a playmat and what they don't. Well, new news.
You know what, Clues?
Yeah.
If the artist could just make a playmat of whatever art.
Yeah.
Then I would totally go see, hang on. My gatherer isn't working. I would totally go see, Cynthia Shepherd and get your very own playmat.
No.
Of Transgress the Mind.
Admittedly, we could get one of those fancy double-sided playmats, so we could brain maggot on the other side. And then depending on your mood, you can always look down.
I hate all of you.
It'd have to be the promo brain maggot, though.
I mean, obviously. I mean, this is Clues. We will spare no expense.
Oh, got a mute again.
So the news is that Magic artists can now actually get Ultra Pro to go ahead and make them playmats. It still has to go through Ultra Pro, but the artists can request that Ultra Pro essentially print and ship them playmats of their artwork. So they will be able to actually sell playmats of their artwork at tournaments now. Again, Ultra Pro is involved, but it's not just going to be Ultra Pro as the gatekeeper of what gets printed. The artists can actually request those.
But then if they say no, then Ultra Pro is still the gatekeeper of what can be printed.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to – the implication is that they're not going to say no.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think at DC in 2 weeks, like, you can see the first starts of this. I think it was Trish Nielsen is going to have, like, Hannah Mats. So Hannah, the navigator or whatever for Bloodlight. Nice. So, and I think it's the judge foil too. So, like, it's kind of nice to see some art that you're like, oh, man, I didn't know I needed this in my life, and now I want it badly.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping that this also means that some of the play mats that were previously only available for Game Day Champions, which tend to sometimes have some of the best art in the set, will actually be available. I know I was especially annoyed that during Return to Ravnica block, they only made play mats out of the lands. And there was so much amazing art in that block that never got to be turned into a play mat.
Yeah, that's always been my big complaint is, you know, we have the technology that we can make relatively small runs of playmats now. We don't have to just pick five pieces of art and that's it. That's all you get.
It's not even picking five pieces. They always pick a cycle. And there's a lot of great one-off cards that you're just, if it's not picked as the game day promo or some GP commissions to use that art, you just don't get it. And with each set having, let's say, 200 or so pieces of art to it, it's really disappointing to only get the five land cycle or the five mythic cycle or whatever the focus is. So I'm fully on board with more opportunities here, especially for the artist who, because of a deal that Wizards makes, kind of got left to the side with that. So yay stuff.
It is very nice. I mean, I don't really care because, like, I only own two playmats and one is literally mine.
Yeah, and one of my playmats has Chewy on it. I don't really know what to do about that.
And the other one is Grilbrand, and Bill bought it for me. So nice.
It seemed appropriate at the time.
Right? But then I don't actually play Magic hardly ever, so it's not really for me. But I am really – so even without – like the fact that this isn't for me and it doesn't affect me at all, I'm really glad, as Clue said, that the artists are being – are getting this extra way to make some money. Because not terribly long ago, like within the last year, I seem to remember seeing a lot of dissatisfaction with the way Wizards handled their artists that we talked about on this very show.
Yeah, so it's kind of a win-win-win scenario. Artists get another way to make money, to tap into their hard work to monetize. Fans get the artwork that they want on the playmats that they want, and Ultra Pro gets a new dump truck full of money.
And Wizards gets even more stuff with their brand on it out there. So it's actually a win-win-win-win.
It's kind of a wonder this just never happened before.
Yeah, right? What the hell? But better late than never, right?
Sure. Stuff.
Things.
Drop by the artist table at upcoming events. You might actually see stuff that you've never seen before.
Yeah. Okay, so next up is, oh, this is actually something we probably should have mentioned earlier before people stop listening. So remember I said next week we have GP Detroit, GP Melbourne, and GP Bologna?
Yeah.
Well, GP Bologna is, it's capped. It's done. The main event.
I was going to say, have we hit the cap?
It says registrations for the main event are closed.
Oh.
And it's flashing at us, so it must be serious.
Although it worries me because at the top it says Legacy. Even though it's modern. Why does it say Legacy at the top? You guys, are you looking at this?
I see it.
I'm there now. I'm going. It does.
Is it maybe run by legacygroup.eu, like it says on the page?
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, what?
Like Legacy Group is apparently who's running this because.
Oh, that's the TO. Okay, good. Yeah. Good, yes. good. Thank you for that because that was actually freaking me out. I'm like,
Oh, no. The best thing ever happened with this. I can scroll down and get a picture of Jace with sold out written on it.
Well, Jace is in fact a sellout. So
he is.
And you can get both sides of Flippy Jace with sellout on it.
Both of them are sold out in circle form. I'm going to make some tokens.
or some coasters. Just put your drink on Jace's sold out face.
Oh, if I scroll down enough, I can see that behind all of it at one part of it is Splinter Twin just looking at me. Scroll down to schedule and you can see what's left of Splinter Twin.
Oh, poor Splinter Twin. If you keep scrolling, you can get gifts ungiven. But anyway, enough of that. So yeah, if you were planning to go to GP Bologna and play in the main event and you didn't pre-register, well, sucks to be you.
Too bad.
Bear in mind, you can still go and play in the side events and the Sunday, the Super, crap, what's it called?
Super Sunday Series.
Super Sunday Series, yeah, because it's like a monster truck rally. The Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Rally, is that what a monster truck thing is called?
It is often a monster truck rally, yes.
Yay. Monster Jam.
I think it's a monster truck Coco.
Jam. Okay, then.
Sunday, Sunday, so, Sunday, you two can play in this tournament, and you may or may not win.
You'll pay for the whole seed, but you'll only need it for one round, because then we're going to move you to another seed.
Children get in for the exact same price that you paid.
I was thinking that you'd only need it for two rounds, because you'll go 0-2 drop.
Oh, hey, that's actually the name of a new podcast. Episode 1 just went up today on MTGCast.
Okay. I hope it makes it to 10, but if it doesn't, I will still laugh.
Oh, God, if they do two episodes and quit, I'm going to die. Anyway.
We'll see how committed they are to the theme.
So, yeah, this is yet another reason that we say as soon as you know that you're going to an event, register.
Just do it.
Because things like this happen, and you can't just count on registering when you get there anymore. We're past that now as a culture.
And if the TO finds out they need more space early on, you're more likely to get in later too.
That is like, also true.
Your friends who haven't made up their minds yet will benefit from you making sure that the event gets a reasonable idea of how many people are going.
The GP in just a few weeks ago. Oh crap. Where was it?
GP the past.
The one that actually moved. It changed venues because it was dangerously close to hitting its cap.
Wasn't that actually coming up this summer? They just swapped to a bigger venue?
Oh, they did, yeah. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Right, where the hell was that? Prague, GP Prague, duh. There we go. I'll be all right.
Yay.
So yeah, pre-register right now. Are you going to an event? Register. Bill, did you register for Charlotte?
I don't know that I'm playing in the event at Charlotte.
That's
so
a good point. Never mind.
They decided it's going to be modern, and I've decided no. So I may be playing inside events and eating pizza in Charlotte.
Nice. That's another reason for you to go, Mike. We want to do another podcaster dinner.
So, that'll be fun. So I will have to. All right, I'll make plans.
Get on that, boss of you. So should we move on to what we have affectionately titled the fluff?
Chewy, I actually have some late breaking news.
Again?
Are you still on Reddit? Good lord.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just like to make sure that we haven't missed anything. It appears, and this came as quite a shock to me. Why do I come back to the show every week?
You know, I'm Ben Jace.
You love the notoriety.
Conspiracy set that we've been talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Empty Throne.
Empty Throne.
Yeah, the Empty Throne. It's actually called Take the Crown.
Oh, from the Empty Throne?
Apparently so. So here's the latest news. Conspiracy, Take the Crown. We are back up to 221 cards.
You can't keep a good ghost down.
Clearly the crown is up for grabs. Will you claim it? That's what they tell us.
I mean, like, if it's back up to 221, then that means that Brago's coming back, right?
I'm not really convinced of that. So here in the in this official announcement, they say the following: add deeper layers of intrigue to your next Magic draft and begin plotting as soon as you open your first booster pack. The Conspiracy Take the Crown set builds on the revolutionary abilities introduced in the original Magic the Gathering Conspiracy set, with new cards that will affect the draft itself and new conspiracies that twist the rules against your foes, trade votes, and spread your attacks to manipulate the game in your favor. Seize the crown to give yourself a greater edge, if you can keep it. I think there's going to be like a hot potato sort of card that is the crown that will do
ooh,
things
ooh,
for
measure
you.
Of wickedness.
I remember that card.
It's like the hot potato card.
Like Witch Hunt works like that too?
Witch Hunt? I don't remember that one.
I believe it does. Yeah.
It's a commander card, and then like it deals 4 damage, and then it shifts to another player at the upkeep, and it's random. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, Measure of Weakness is an old card that, essentially, I don't remember if it's, you have to keep casting spells or something, but whatever the case, you keep moving it around, and the first person who can't fulfill that condition, it goes off and does like 7 damage to them.
Whenever another card is put into your graveyard from anywhere, target opponent gains control of Measure of Wickedness. And then at the beginning of your end step, hey, look at that. Sacrifice Measure of Wickedness and you lose 8 life.
Yeah.
So if you're stuck with it at the end of your turn with nothing to play or put into your graveyard, then you just lose 8.
Yep.
It's not a very good card, but it sure is a lot of fun in a multiplayer game. Let me just tell you.
Start tossing that around.
Anyway, so who is this? There's a picture of someone on a throne wearing the crown.
Marchesa?
Is that her name? I didn't pay enough attention to conspiracy.
Brienne of Tarth.
No, she would not wear that outfit.
That is actually a terrible outfit. Ugh. Nice.
That's more of like a Renly outfit.
That's just actually true.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, Song of Ice and Fire.
I've never heard of such things.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Never heard of that either. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
I don't believe you.
HBO's LARP porn.
Oh, that. Okay, right. Didn't Telltale Games make a game about that? Yeah, okay, that's where I've heard of it.
Gotcha.
I love Telltale. Okay, then. So next up. Wait, so is that it? We'll take the crown with conspiracy.
As far as at least as of now, yes, that's the news that I
mean, we'll give it another 20 minutes because Clues seems to keep finding things somehow.
Okay. Let's hope we're not still recording in 20 minutes. So next up, Bill, you put this here. What the hell is this?
Okay. So, as you guys know, Shadows Over Innistrad are coming up, and, as one of the tie-ins for it, they have created, it's like Hanwear Chronicle is what it says on the page. The website address is Hanweich Chronicle. No, it's Hanwear. I just can't read. Yes, Hanwearchronicle.com. Yeah.
We're also not good with letters as well as numbers.
Oh, you mean the Hanwearch Chronicle. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one with the Hanwearch. The noble Hanwearch. But yeah, so what it is they've made a bit of a in-flavor website that contains essentially a news posting from one of the cities in Innistrad where I'm not going to go into the flavor of it for you because, I mean, it's story. You might as well just read it. It's pretty short. But it looks like as part of their tie-in for the new set, they're going to be posting some in-world media for us to read. Normally, we don't go through and read out flavor to you anyway. But in the case of this one, I think this is actually neat because they put some art on it. It's all stylized. It's something that hopefully they'll do more of because I like when they do things like this. I appreciate it from the marketing standpoint, but I also appreciate the immersion potential for the people that really want it.
Didn't they do this for the original Innistrad? Something, was it Innistrad? What? They've done this like separate website with lots of flavor and story and backstory on it before.
Yes, and it I think it was the original Innistrad.
Okay, good. Because that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't remember how they did it, but I remember there being something.
Yeah.
But that's what they're doing this time, so I've got a link to it here in the show notes if you want to check it out, and I guess keep an eye on it, because we have to make sure that you have to keep track of 30 websites to keep up with Magic.
That's right. And I think that everyone on the entire plane of Innistrad is getting their own Tumblr that you'll have to follow.
Oh, I hope so. I actually want to hear what Mikaius is up to these days. Is he like still like an angry zombie?
And I think that each piece of the Hell Vault has its own Twitter account.
Oh, so like that's how we made Mind Sculptor. Right. Gotcha.
If you pay extra, you can access premium tweets.
Ooh, but not everyone. Just a few people.
Yes.
So to start all this off, before all that happens, remember, go to HeinwarchRonicle.com.
Spelled just like it is in the show notes.
Exactly. All right. And finally, something that Will Blanks, our unsung... Well, not very frequently sung, a secret ally of Monday Night Magic who populates our show notes with stuff every week. And thank goodness.
A lot of keywords into that.
I did, yeah. And thank goodness because so many times we would have missed lots of things if Will didn't throw them in the show notes. Is the Shadows Over Innistrad site, or page, I guess, on the mothership. And it's got Unravel the Madness with an animated picture of Jace. Who his hair blows, the background sort of shifts, and the little flame in front of him sort of does its wispy thing. And a There's countdown.
A face looking at him.
Do what?
There's a face looking at him.
Well, you know, it's not really looking at him. It's sort of behind him.
Yeah.
The face is also made of angels.
There is that. Yeah.
Yep.
But it says, unravel the madness. And there's a countdown timer that as of this second, it says 2 days, 19 hours, 35 minutes, 8 seconds, 7, 6.
Wow, so, my timer's faster than yours. Well, I'm in the future!
What do you have?
2:19:34:51.
Let me reload. Hang on.
So now I'm curious. I'm struck by several things here. The first one is, of course, the angel in the background. That's true. But I also like how, number one, Jace has a trench coat to cover up that kind of tacky blue number that he's always wearing. That's kind of nice. I also can't help but think it's great that the guild pack has gone to another plane again.
Not all of them.
Because, you know, what Ravnica really doesn't need is actually the guild pact.
Well, I mean, I think as long as he's alive, I think he's fine.
No, I disagree. You ever played against that bastard? As long as he's alive, you're in trouble.
Sorry, I meant as long as he's alive, then the fact that the guild pact still exists means that everything's good. I don't think obviously he doesn't have to stay on Ravnica, because that would have been a great way to write him out of the story forever.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. I had such high hopes. Oh, man. I was so, yeah, I knew it wasn't going to happen, but a man can dream.
But Clues is right. He's wearing a trench coat, and he's, it says here, investigate the mystery, uncover the clues, unravel the madness. That means that Jace is actually moving into film noir.
It's true.
Yeah. So this is way better than Suicide Zoo. I'm just saying.
But the book was better. You're right.
Because you can't have him smoking. That's why he's got that little flame in front of him.
Yeah.
Like straight. And look, there's even a dame who walked into his office. See, that's what this angel thing behind him is. Totally. It's film noir. It's Jace is now, Sam Spade or whatever his name was. Is that right? I think that's right.
In this context, he's probably more like Harry Dresden, but yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay. We'll go with that.
I appreciate the fact that when, Garrick went to Innistrad, he got a coat and that turned out fine. So now that Jace is there and he has a coat, I'm sure nothing bad will happen.
But so yeah, this timer is counting down and it'll go off or hit zero Thursday, which is the 3rd of March at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So that's a thing.
Then yeah. We can find out why Jace is dressing up as Dixon Hill.
I imagine he got tired of people making fun of his hoodie.
I mean, if we're going to talk about this from like a storytelling perspective, like at some point you have all these characters who just like pop in and out of reality and they don't ever like dress the same or look like anybody on the plane. Like, so if they're going to like pretend to be investigators, they can't just show up like in like Ravnican clothing. Just like, huh, no one here dresses like that. You're weird. You know what I mean? Like, so it makes sense they would have to be like, all right, let me put this coat on so I can look like you other, you know, random people.
Well, also the people in Innistrad are an understandably frightful bunch. Like everything is trying to kill them all the time. And they have people that look like them that are trying to kill them because the humans are the creepiest creatures in Innistrad. And so this guy with like the funny face stuff shows up with his like swoopy hair and his hoodie. Like, yeah, you don't trust that guy. At least now he's wearing a coat.
I just think it's like sort of like Doc Brown pulling out the suitcase of money and just being like, you know, dollar bills from every year. That's this is what you got to have here.
By the way, Clues, I liked the Dixon Hill.
Yeah, I'm glad somebody, I'm sure yeah. Some listeners got that too. So.
I mean, I'm sure Bill did too, but.
I'm just hoping that, Jace actually has to investigate as opposed to just walk up to someone and then mind sculpt an answer out of them and then move on. That's less exciting.
In that other preview card, he's clearly following Clues.
Yeah, that's who you should follow.
So
on Twitter?
Oh God, I hate
you. You really don't want to be followed on Innistrad, dude. There's this guy, you can't see him. He's got a big old cleaver. Nothing you can do about it.
Anyway, I love all these meta jokes. But yeah, okay, so that's cool. Check in again Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time, where I'm guessing we'll get a clue or something.
Maybe it'll be like way back when they originally went to Eldrazi and you'll pull up the page and then the whole screen will just get destroyed by something. Cause that'd be kind of neat.
I mean, that'd be all right.
Hopefully it's not Imrakul showing up. We've got enough Eldrazi for now.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that in Innistrad. Innistrad has enough problems.
Yeah.
So yeah, check that out or not, you know, whatever. So now that it's late as balls, let's go to Magic Online and wrap this up, because yeah. I still have to post this tonight.
All right, so Magic Online, still there. Typical disclaimer. My announcements are typically a week old because they make most of their announcements on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and we record on Monday. So first up, this is the February 23 announcements. You probably want to check in on the March 1st announcements for something a lot more current. The first thing that they mentioned is that last Wednesday, they're bringing out Sealed Leagues, finally, after years waiting on Sealed Leagues. They're doing it. Go team. Limited. So if you're not familiar with the league concept, the idea is that you start out with a deck and you keep it. Or rather, you start out with a sealed pool, you build your deck, you keep it over the course of several weeks, and over time you get to add to it typically. But instead of just being like a one and done event, you stick with it for a while. And it's kind of interesting in Magic Online because you don't typically, like, not everyone has 4 to 5 hours of just being ready to play. But if you have an hour here and there, then you can get paired up against someone else and play against them. And that'll contribute towards your participation in the league. So it's a lot more schedule friendly than actually trying to do a full sealed event in one go. And so what they're going to be doing is the Oath of the Gatewatch Battle for Zendikar Sealed League will begin on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, the 2nd, after the downtime. So you can jump right in there. They'll be taking new entries through Monday, April 11th. So while you may want to get in earlier than that, you technically can hop in pretty much any time up till April 11th. The league will be ending on April 13th. So you've got some time there. The link that I put in the show notes will show you all the details on cost and how to, you know, participate, the prize structure, all that. They're going to go up to 5 matches. So that's kind of neat. Overall, I'd say if you want to play in Sealed Online, consider doing this. It might be a lot more convenient for you than just jumping in a pre-release event. And these are probably going to be a lot easier to hop in on without waiting for a, you know, 32 person event to fire. So that's certainly great. This is what people wanted when they said that they wanted to do leagues. And we got constructed leagues, which we sort of rolled our eyes at, but we took them because they were something. But this is actually what you want. So give it a shot, even if you only do it once. Now, one thing that you can note is that if you're in a store for Sealed League, a lot of times in the store, they either make you fill out a giant list of all the cards in your pool, which you leave at the store. But a lot of them, they just like, they get you, you get a deck box, you keep the cards in that box and it stays in the store so that you don't mess with your pool over the time. With Magic Online, the cards in your sealed pool are in your collection, but you can't trade them. You can't redeem them. You can't do anything that messes with them, but they're there. So you can put them in other decks. So if you decide you want to get in on whatever the new or current set is, you can play it, get the cards, put them in your constructed deck, but you can't get rid of them until you're done with the actual league. So just as a reminder.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean,
like, let you use them like they're in your collection, even though they're not totally in your collection because you can't lose them.
Right.
It's nifty. It's a nice way to make it less self-contained.
Yeah. It's not like it's a phantom event where you're playing with these cards that aren't yours, but it's also not one of those things where you can go to a bot and say, okay, sell all these cards. And then oops, I sure did sell part of the deck that I need. So I think it's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Like I said, you can find out more details on that on the link I put in the show notes. What's interesting is because they do the updates on Wednesdays, a lot of the Tuesday updates are come back tomorrow. And it's like, thanks. Useful. I mean, we have the luxury of time has passed. But yeah, so the Pro Tour qualifier schedule for Pro Tour Eldritch Moon, was added to Magic Online. You can find the link in the show notes. I'm not going to read the schedule to you, but it's there so you can keep track of that. Also going on, one thing that's new is that they're reducing the number of downtimes.
What?
So typically every Wednesday, they bring things down to do whatever their updates are. But here we have, in an effort to make sure Magic Online is available when you want to play Magic, we're working on ways to reduce the number of times we have to bring the system offline for maintenance. As a first step, we're simply going to eliminate at least one downtime each month.
Wow.
So they're not going to be doing downtime every single Wednesday going forward. The dates of the exact downtimes that they'll be skipping, so these are ones where they will not be doing downtime, are March 16, April 6, April 20, May 11, June 8, June 22nd. So important thing to note, though, is that they process set redemptions during downtime. So if you go to turn in your collection of all of the cards in a given set, you're going to have to wait until the next downtime for them to process that and then ship you your cards. So acknowledging that, this does mean that likewise on all those Wednesdays, it's not going to be taken down and you won't have to wait. This is probably a good thing overall because odds are if you put together a whole set to redeem, you're fine waiting another week. None of these are consecutive Wednesdays. There's always at least, or rather at most, one Wednesday, and then immediately the week after that, things will be back for downtime. So I think that's kind of neat. Like, they're just consolidating a bit. Now, whether this becomes a problem in terms of reacting to problems, like, oh no, game-breaking critical issue, I'm sure they'll make an unscheduled downtime. It's not like they're not doing that. They're just acknowledging the regular maintenance and updates. They're going to try to do less of those. So
after how many years of it being absolutely every week? That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how far back it goes. I know ever since I started using Magic Online, it's been every Wednesday, with a few exceptions like Christmas. Like, once in a while, they tell you, like, weeks out that, by the way, we're not going to be down that day. So here they're trying to break away from that. So that's kind of neat.
It's exciting, for sure.
It's an improvement.
That was good. Yeah.
Yeah, so let's see, moving down a little bit more. The Year of Modern Flashbacks is still going. So through this Wednesday, you've got two champions, one betrayers. But starting Wednesday, it's going to go full block to champions of Kamigawa, betrayers of Kamigawa, and saviors of Kamigawa. So you can get the whole thing. You still have one pack for your shot at getting that Umezawa's Jite. So have fun with that. and in general, go play with spirits and legend creatures and all that neat stuff. It's apparently a really fun set. Splice. Enjoy. Like, I didn't play it, so I can only throw buzzwords around. Bushido!
That was the sweat, or set, not the sweat. That was the set that caused me to quit, so I drafted it only a couple of times.
Wait,
so,
which set made you quit?
The Kamigawa block, I should say. But
really? Not the Mirrodin before it, but Kamigawa.
I actually enjoyed Mirrodin a fair amount, and the first set of Kamigawa was, oh man, it was so bad. It was awful.
Are you saying that because it was low power, or you just actually didn't like the design of the set?
I mean, it definitely coincided with, like, a specific, like, an easy time for me to break from the game, and nothing about that set made me, like, I remember distinctly hating what they did with, like, Legends, and, like, just being like, oh, well, these, like, do not feel, like, I don't know, I didn't connect to that block in any way that is memorable to me, and I was like, all right, I'm done for now. So,
I can totally get that. I know that my, like, from what I've seen of it, the biggest criticism I had with Kamigawa block is just that a lot of the mechanics are completely insular, so they don't really play with things outside of their block. Predominantly right. The Splice onto Arcane one, which...
Yeah, it was all kind of terrible. Like, we've actually, in the last several weeks, over on the Mana Pool, we've been talking about Kamigawa. We've been doing Mythic Conscriptions of the Kamigawa block. We actually finished it up with last week's episode, which just went up yesterday.
Nice.
So, Mythic Conscription, for those that don't know, we're going back to old pre-Mythic rarity sets, looking at the rares and trying to figure out which ones would have been Mythic if Mythic was a thing at the time. And yeah, we just finished up, like I said, with Saviors on last episode, and damn, like, it's got Samurai that don't appear anywhere else, and things that interact with Samurai that don't appear anywhere else. Ninja, they appear in one set. And, like, there's one in Commander, this last Commander set?
There's one in Plane Chase.
Okay, maybe it was Plane Chase. There's one somewhere else. But this is the only other place to find ninjas that aren't also changelings is in Betrayers of Kamigawa. Specifically, there's this Splice onto Arcane. Arcane has never reappeared. What was the other thing? Wasn't there another? Oh, the Spirit or Arcane thing. Spiritcraft.
Yeah,
It's slightly less insular, but still very insular.
Soul Shift?
Yeah, that too. Yeah. I forgot about it.
Didn't Kamigawa have, like, fate counters and, what was the big thing? Was that the epic spells?
Yeah, it had the epic spells and, saviors.
Like, it had a bunch of, like, sort of their mechanics, but they weren't, like, big overriding things. And then there's these things.
Yeah, like, the Kamigawa dragons are huge, but the,
ruining modern masters for everyone.
But the mechanics of the set don't really play well with any other block. I said the spirit craft is sort of different because at least they still print spirits, but that's kind of flimsy. That's like saying, well, you know, they still print goblins. Well,
they better.
Good for you. But yeah. It was really cool as a limited format. because all of the how insular everything was, it really plays well within itself. So, and Limited is really cool. Less so when Saviors came out, but that was the case with the third set in blocks way back then.
Yeah, that was a recurring issue.
Yeah.
It's like a Dragon's Maze happened or something.
Oh.
But yeah, so suffice it to say, that'll be what's going on, after which, in the future, we'll move on to 9th edition and Ravnica block and all that fun. But for now, we're going to run out the rest of Kamigawa block. So, fun times. And finally, what we've got in here, because they didn't really have anything else that hasn't already gone to pass. Now, as a reminder, like I said, really pay attention to these things, because the next news thing for me was upcoming Power 9 Challenge, which took place last weekend. They really like to tell you about things that are happening that week. So if you care about Magic Online, you should keep an eye on it, because a lot of the stuff is, this is happening this week. So I can't help you with that. And finally, like I said, they updated the bug blog. So hopefully it'll be entertaining this time, right? I mean, sometimes it does funny stuff. And sometimes now, like, I've actually noticed they've got more issues since they started doing the modern flashbacks. Because suddenly it's a bunch of old modern cards that nobody cared about interacting with new rules.
Whoops.
And other issues. Like, for instance, for the Kamigawa flashbacks, the bow and arrow, the Hankyu, its second ability...
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, it's an uncommon. Like, you have no reason to care.
And a bad one.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to read it now because we've said it's hilariously bad. So it's a single mana, one generic mana. Artifact equipment. Equipped creature has tap, put an aim counter on the bow, and tap, remove all aim counters from the bow. This creature deals damage to target creature or player equal to the number of aim counters that were removed. And equip cost is 4. So yeah, it's awful. So how do you make that worse? Well, here's the known issue. Hankyu's second ability, which as mentioned is the one where you remove all those aim counters and deal damage, does not cause the equipped creature to deal damage as intended.
So you build up your aim counters and then you remove all your aim counters and target a creature, and that's what you do.
Yeah.
So this is just that. This is just that gif of, like, the guy pulling back on a bow over and over again. Like, it never actually releases. It just keeps drawing and drawing and drawing.
Effectively. Now, because it says to deal damage as intended, it's possible that instead of it doing no damage, it's the bow that's dealing the damage instead of the creature.
Oh.
But they didn't clarify. Now, if the bow's doing the damage, then at least it's hitting it. But if the creature has something like lifelink or death touch, or something that triggers on it dealing damage, and this obviously matters a lot more.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if protection from colors comes into play, since that was a bit more common back then. Protection from legends. Regardless, don't use that card anyway. It sucks. But if you do use it, know that it's bugged. So yeah, moving down, some of the other new issues, some far-reaching ones, like abilities that reduce mana cost are not correctly being applied to additional costs. So that's stuff like buyback and multi-kicker and stuff like that. Well, they're not being reduced. I can't imagine that this possibly came up in a world of broken Eldrazi things cost 2 less. Can you?
Nah.
No. If Kozilek's Pathfinder loses its abilities, perhaps if it was given a gift of tusks. I want you to imagine that. Kozilek's Pathfinder with tusks. Creatures previously affected by its activated ability, which is, you know, pay a colorless and target creature can't block it, will incorrectly be able to block it. So if it loses its abilities, then
it's retroactive. It
still works. It has lost its abilities in the past. Too bad. Yeah, here's one that I thought they'd already fixed, but if it double plays Planeswalker from Magic Origins is selected as a player's commander, when the creature attempts to exile itself and return to the battlefield transformed into a Planeswalker, it will instead arrive in the command zone and stay there.
Well, at least it doesn't go to the command zone and then transform.
Which would be funnier.
Because then you could never cast it.
Yeah. So apparently this is the case where Jace leaves the plane of Ravnica where he's responsible and doesn't come back.
Aw, topical humor.
Pretty much. There's a bunch of other stuff here. I gotta read this one. I'm reading this verbatim. If a player attempts to sacrifice a pile of Eldrazi babies, (parentheses) scions or spawn at once, only one of those tokens will be sacrificed. So don't try to sacrifice multiple babies because only one of them will die.
Oh, and I hate it when that happens.
That's just the worst.
It's a very inefficient way to sacrifice your babies.
Nope, we got to do it one at a time. The old-fashioned way. How are we going to devour this whole plane if we're only killing one baby at a time?
Oh, my God.
If they didn't say the word babies, I would have completely skipped over reading that. But it did, so here we are. Yeah, actually, most of these things are directly related to how Phyrexians interact with stuff, which really shouldn't surprise us.
Phyrexians?
Well, Phyrexians and Eldrazi. Like, all of this stuff is just straight-up sacrifice effects are broken.
Oh, okay.
Phyrexian Devourer doesn't actually gain +1/+1 counters from its activated ability, no matter how many cards it devours. just keeps on eating, but no, it's never full.
Oh, so it's, or is it like the skinny chick that everyone hates, because she can eat whatever she wants and she doesn't get any bigger.
Yeah, it could be like that, or it could be like when you're playing Chrono Trigger and you get in the machine that reveals your HP and MP, but you're still hungry.
Insane.
Could be all these things. But yeah, I could keep reading these forever. There's a lot of bugs in this thing. Just go read the list. I'm just reading the ones about dead babies. There you have it.
Oh, that takes me back to, let me think.
Comedian days?
No. That takes me back to 11th grade English class.
You sacrificed a baby?
Well, okay. So, okay, real quick story. So we had the vocabulary word of the day every day, and we had to, make a sentence with it. And a small group of us, I think there were originally three of us, started every sentence every word we would work that word into a sentence involving the baby on the meat hook twitched.
Oh, right. Yeah, you did tell us this once.
And we would use it correctly, and it really pissed off the English teacher. And then one day, she after weeks of this, she finally got angry and said, "Right, nobody is to read any more babies on meat hooks twitching because this is awful." And she pointed at one of the sweet little innocent girls in the class who never does anything wrong and said, "Kristen, read yours." And Kristen's was baby on the meat hook twitching. And I thought the teacher's head was going to explode. It was a good day. So that's why babies on meat hooks twitching, they have a special place in my heart.
Nice. Anyways. Oh, and while you're telling that story, this one actually is relevant. Gold Meadow Harrier incorrectly prevents players from submitting or playing with a pauper deck.
Oh my God.
Gold Meadow Harrier, for those who don't remember, it's the one drop Kithkin who has white tap target creature. A really effective tapper in pauper. Apparently prevents you from submitting or playing with your pauper deck. So that's going to have to be addressed because that's relevant.
What the hell?
I don't know. Maybe it's just not listed as legal as in common. I don't know. That's unusual.
Gold Meadow Harrier was... No, it's been a common all the times it was printed.
Yeah, every time.
I guess it was only really printed in Lorwyn and then again in a dual deck. But wow, that's awful.
And it was also tokens that were created by a spell shaper in Future Sight.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Good times. But yeah, that's actually relevant. Look over all these things anyway, because as I said, the person who writes these is kind of snarky with them, and I appreciate that. But also, you should be aware of this stuff if you're playing Magic Online, because sometimes it'll matter, and it's a lot harder to get reimbursed if it's a problem that everyone knows about and has known about for a long time, especially if you've, reported it once before. They'll work with you, but it's a lot easier just not go through the trouble, and maybe don't try to submit your Gold Meadow Harrier deck right now. So
yeah, maybe.
And that's about it for Magic Online. We can start talking about Magic Online.
Yay!
Hooray!
So with that, now that it's almost tomorrow, let's wrap this up for God's sake. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
You're our special guest, standard expert. So thank you so very much for joining us this week and helping us sound legitimate.
Thanks for dealing with my choppy issues earlier.
That's fine. It happens all the time. People that talk to us don't usually live that long. I mean, hang out that long. I mean, so where can people find you and your show and all that good stuff?
All right. So shout out times for myself. We are at your end step. You can find us on Twitter with the, and this took Morgan, one of my co-hosts, a long time to get, sweet at your end step, or Twitter handle, which is just awesome. So the at symbol, your end step. You can find us on Facebook at your end step. And I am at big_tears on Twitter as well. So
is that because you saw Suicide Zoo and it depressed you?
No, that I have come a long way as a competitive Magic player, and I used to be far too salty. I would tilt really badly, and I earned the nickname Big Tears from some friends of mine, pretty much just about whining too much. So I have stopped doing that. I wear my nickname as a reminder to not be that guy.
So wait a minute. So that means when you do really well at the Pro Tour, can we just start calling you Big Tears because you went on a tear?
Wait, no, we spell tears the other way because it means he's, you know, a top contender.
Oh, he's top tier. Yeah.
I see. Yeah, that was definitely an improvement.
But as far as your Twitter is concerned, it's T-E-A-R-S.
Yes, correct. Big, yeah. Like actual, like crying a lot, you know, like I'm a giant baby.
There yeah. you go.
Which well, I'm sure your co-host would agree.
Well, just don't get sacrificed with other babies. It's waste everybody's time.
So which Pro Tour did you qualify for? What are we qualifying for right now?
This is Pro Tour Shadows of Innistrad in Madrid, Spain.
Ooh.
That is the end of April.
Have you ever been to Spain?
I have not been on an airplane before.
Oh, well, that's... I do not recommend driving to Spain.
Yeah, that's not cool. If you leave now, you might make
it. If you go fast enough, you might be able to get a good skip, but it's really hard with that curvature of the planet thing.
Oh, man. Don't worry about it. My first commercial flight was actually from Charlotte to from Greensboro to Philadelphia. But then we hung out for like an hour, and then I flew to Munich. So
that's different.
Yeah, I'd say for a long flight like that, you should probably practice sleeping sitting up in a very uncomfortable position, because otherwise you might not sleep on the plane.
Take earplugs and an eye mask.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, that probably would have helped.
Or noise canceling headphones are really nice.
Oh.
Will do. Thank you for the advice, because I'm going to need it.
Yeah. Don't freak out when you hit turbulence, because then people will look at you like you're a big tears.
Big tears.
Have you already gone through all of the like passports and stuff?
I'm doing the expedited application this week. So.
Because I'm wondering if when you go down to the reason, you just say, I am a planeswalker. And if this is a thing that comes up a lot.
And I heard something about the rain in Spain.
Oh, yeah. Hey, check on that while you're there for us, would you? That'd be awesome.
Over the, what, the Innistrad plane? Is that how it works?
Yes.
Right. So, but seriously, go check out at your Instep. I love those guys. Anytime I bump into them at events, it's always good. Even Jordan. He's not on the show anymore, but still, you know, screw that guy. And you guys are in the 120s now for episodes, so.
Yeah, we're becoming old pros.
It's pretty awesome. I love it. Haven't we had one of you guys on the show before, didn't we?
I think you had Jordan on, like right at the beginning of our run.
Okay. And so I'm sorry that we, if of all the people on the show to expose them to, it was Jordan.
But, yeah, that. You know, hindsight being 2020 and whatnot, but
I really hope he's listening to this too, so he'll cuss at me on Twitter. But not really. Go check these guys out. They clearly know their stuff because Mike is going to the Pro Tour, and that's not something you just luck into anymore. You have to win two tournaments for that now.
It does. It takes a little bit of time now.
Yeah. So congrats and awesome.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, man. Cause as he said, when I asked, hey, you want to be on the show? He's like, if I can't use going to the Pro Tour to push my podcast, what good is it? It's like sold.
Perfectly fair.
So you have any sort of, anything else that you would like to throw out before we move on with the rest of the nonsense?
No, take it out.
Sweet. Well, how about you then? Who's next? Clues?
Yeah, sure. So, hey, if you can't get enough of me, you can, of course, find me over on the Card Advantage podcast right here on the MTGCast network, as well as our own website, which is cardadvantagecast.com. You can find me on the Twitters. I'm at LockLuzet, spelled just like it is in ye olde show notes. And coming up later in March, I will be at the SCG event in Indianapolis. I'll be your head judge for the Legacy event. So come on out and play some Legacy cards. Unless you're playing Miracles, then just stay home. It's fine. You don't need to be there.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Mono Black Miracles.
I don't even know what that looks like.
It doesn't exist.
Is it just four copies of Top and a bunch of Swamps?
There's probably some damnation in there.
Damn! Oh, I'm sorry. Nation.
It runs Urborg. Don't worry about it.
All right, then.
So someone right now is trying to look up what the Black Miracles are, and that makes me entertained.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've got.
Word. Right. How about you then there, the Bill?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinNabob. There's no Iron Goblin because it was wasted and it attempted at sacrificing babies. beyond that, you can find me through planeswalker.squee@gmail.com, or you can go over to enchantworld.com where you can submit your stories and I will edit them together and actually release episodes. I've made a point of actually announcing on Twitter this morning so that it's all nice and public and everyone can shame me if I fail, that I've blocked out schedule time from my life this week that nothing else is allowed to interfere with, so that I can take not just the stuff that I wanted to upload for the next episode, but also I want to dump about 5 or 6 more topics out there, because having my release schedule based on the rate at which people submit me stuff makes it really sporadic. So I'm going to try to drop a bunch of different topics, and if that doesn't work, then I think I'll also consider adjusting format and maybe having like a single, like I tried to avoid interview segments, but like a single longer story with some small supporting ones, kind of like what a lot of radio shows do. I'll try some different stuff because I'm certainly not looking to abandon the submission idea, but it does put me at the mercy of when people submit things, and that makes it a lot harder to hold a schedule. So we'll see what happens, but something will be coming out. I'm planning on working on it this week with the goal of submitting it so that by the time you're listening to us next week, it's already come out. So there you have it. It is out there. Shame me if I fail.
Shame. Be shamed.
And speaking of shame, I am shaming everyone who can vote in a primary and doesn't. So there.
Yes. Please vote in your primaries.
I can tell you who to vote for. You could probably tell based on the entire nature of my podcast who I would be pushing for, at least which side. But beyond that, You need to vote. It's your license to complain. And you also can't expect people to pander to you in the future if you do not show that you're worth pandering to in the eyes of democracy. So that is the long and short of that.
Yeah.
It's also that thing that all those people on Facebook are whining about. So join the whining, or at least do something about it. A lot of you have Super Tuesday now. So go do that.
Yeah. Vote or die. That's a thing still, right? Is that still a thing?
I think they died.
Vote and then eventually die?
Quitters.
All right, then. Wait, did you throw the contact information out with that, too? I forgot.
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. So, all right, because the eye... Okay, yeah. So, that leaves me. You can check out The Manipool, which is my baby, my other show, on themanipool.com, along with the videos and whatnot that I do on the YouTube channel. I just recently posted the next Chewie's Mom Opens Packs, like I said before. It was Fallen Empires, and it was – Mom is still adorable. It's disgusting. I actually have several more in the can to be edited because Mom and I did 3 relatively recently when I had time. So still got 3 left, so that's cool. So those will be coming at some point in the future, no promises. There's also a matter of Deadpool. I was on the School of Movies episode about Deadpool, and I highly recommend everyone check it out, not just because I was there, but because you should be listening to School of Movies anyway. But yeah, if you enjoyed Deadpool and you want to hear us deconstruct it and sing its praises and all of that, it was a good group of people and a lot of fun, and they picked on me. So there's another reason to go listen to it.
Ooh, selling points.
Yeah. So check that out. I will try to remember to put a link to that. If I put a link actually in the show notes right now, that means I will put it in the show notes. It's crazy how that works.
The logic is flawless. Ah,
there we go. And what else? I guess that's it for me. So
Manipool.
You can follow me on Twitter at The Manipool. You can go to themanipool.com to see the podcast and Peculiar Flavor Roundup every Monday. And that's Rejected Flavor Text done by Mike Okahara. I love that guy. And all my, you know, Magic and Hearthstone related videos. Other stuff will only go up on the YouTube channel. So like the Virtual Fighter 5 video didn't go up on themanipool.com. It's only on the YouTube channel. So go subscribe. It's youtube.com/C/themanipool. Or just search for the username themanipooltube. Get it? Cause pool tube and YouTube. Anyway. And if you want to help support what I do with the Magic podcasts and all of the YouTube videos and everything, then check out the Patreon. You can get all my videos and Manipool episodes early, and you get, if you so choose, the odds and ends, which is all the stuff recorded before and after Monday Night Magic and the Manipool. You can hear Clues swear at us.
Sometimes.
Last week especially. That was great.
Oh man, you should have heard me before Card Advantage that we recorded last week. I was having audio problems and I was swearing up a storm.
It was an impressive one. I think he actually got to 20.
Did you have the little clicker counter? You're like, click, 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 close, slam!
It happened enough that I'm pretty sure I was actually just detecting an earthquake.
So spoilers, Bill is on the last or the next Card Advantage?
The next.
In the future of my past.
Whoa.
That's right. It would have posted tonight, but it's already tomorrow. So.
It is, yeah. Sorry about that. It's Mike's fault.
Yeah.
Totally. Wait, what did I do?
Yes. So that leaves, what else? Oh, yeah, but it's patreon.com/themanipool. Every little bit helps. I really do appreciate it. It helps me, you know, pay the bills while continuing to create content for you. That's less time I have to spend driving around all over the damn place not creating content for you. I've been like 40 or 50 or last week, 60 hours a week getting stuff done that's Manipool and whatnot related. So the all of this month. So that's really awesome. I actually got to turn down a few trips that were interfering with actually this show and the Manipool, both actually. So yay! But anyway, if you want to help support Magic Podcasting, but not me specifically, then you can go to mtgcast.com and hit the support MTGcast button, or it's a link, it's not a button, and sign up for a small monthly donation if you so like, where, because all of MTGcast is free, it's free for all of you listeners out there, it's free for all the podcasters, but it's not really free. So signing up there helps get MCGcast back in the black, where eventually we can start doing, you know, things with the money rather than just watching it go towards all the hosting and all that. So every little bit there is also appreciated. And if enough of you can sign up and do that, then eventually MCGcast will not be a big money pit. Yeah. So that's a thing.
Things.
Stuff. His ghost neck. It's his only weakness.
Aw, he should really get over that.
I seriously laughed for like 2 minutes straight. I was muted and just giggling the whole time. So thank you, Mike. That's why it's your fault.
Fair enough.
But we're done now. So a big thanks again to Mike from At Your Instep. Everyone go listen to them if you're not already. And we'll be done. So this has been episode 503 of Monday Night Magic, recorded here on this day that doesn't usually exist. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.